Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We'll fight to the death. We are soldiers. We are soldiers.
Conversation and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And if you are a member of Facebook or on Facebook, you can easily find the Patriot Journalist Network by going to the search engine of the Facebook and put in Patriot Journalist Network as one word. And you can find not only this show, but you can also find Mark Prasik's show. And I'd really appreciate if folks were to go in there and say hello to Mark for me. I haven't had the opportunity to have a talk with him. So if you have an opportunity yourself to go in there, please tell him I said hello. And that show is from 8 until midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday night, at least the last time I checked. So if you could check, that would be great for me. Now tonight, we are going to have coverage of the 2012 election returns, along with some analysis. So, and we'll also have a few panelists to come in. We will have Chris and then perhaps Rex from the Texas Rex Show come in. And actually, I'm getting ready to, I'm speaking with Chris as we speak on chat, so he will be coming in shortly. The last time I checked, it was very close with Obama with 157 Electoral College votes, with Romney having 153. And I will be turning on some more coverage myself and giving updates where I can. Of course, I know you folks are getting updates as well. But we're going to be here. We're going to be giving analysis as we see it. Okay, real quick. I am looking at some chat. So anyway, we'll wait for them to come on. Perhaps we'll see Rex in text. There is Rex. I see him in the chat. Of course, Rex, as always, you are welcome to come in and chime in. And anyone else you would like to call in and chime in about your thoughts and feelings on how you are seeing the results come in from this 2012 general election, the call-in number is area code 347-945-7428. So I'm going to, at this time, switch over, and this is one of the things about an organic show, is I'm going to be looking at my TV set and seeing what I have here. I am being in Ohio, so of course we'll be getting things more here. So far, I'm trying to find a map on who has what states. But one thing I do want to talk about is I know earlier in the when the results were coming in, there were third-party results being seen as well. However, recently that has not been the case. So I don't know why that is, but we will see. And because it is election night, I will be taking a little bit of the restrictions that I normally have on the show when it comes to some of the talk. Of course, no F-bombs still and no GDs or anything of that nature. But there will be some moments to say, oh, shit, damn, that, or things of that nature. Because of or of what they're seeing happening in the results, then that's fine too, because this is what we are looking at is having people tell us about the new blasphemy, good rule, is what I've got from somebody from the chat. And this is Rex. Apparently, I intimidated a couple of douchebags trying to hand me some sample ballots today. Yes, I have voted. My wife has voted, and so thank you very much, Michelle, for coming with me to vote today. But at this time, I would like to bring in one of the panelists, and that is Chris. And Chris, I'm going to flip over to the television portion of my monitor, and you tell me what your thoughts or feelings are about what you've seen so far tonight.
Well, I'm still catching up a little bit, unfortunately. So because I did that interview with Robbie Wells.
How did that go? If you want to give us an update, that's fine.
Pretty amazing. Pretty interesting. Very interesting. Really level-headed guy. I want to interview him some more. He is.
I'm sure that could be arranged. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, he was game. Interesting character. I didn't get into the details so much of the whole, you know, it was somebody else's show and it was short and we have election night and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, there were some things that I wanted to ask him, but I figured, you know, I just wanted to roll with the environment the way it was. But I wanted to kind of get the whole, because he ran against Virgil Goode and lost to Virgil Goode in the Constitution Party. And Virgil's had some great things to say about him. He's had some great things to say about Virgil. But he's actually announced his candidacy for 2016. This guy's on. I mean,
well,
I'm rolling now.
That's understood. I think it might be premature. I mean, because what if Virgil Goode wins tonight? I mean, I know that's it's you know
can
probably gonna be one of the first ones to drop.
Yeah, I've been off my site for a while, and I can't find your
link
in the chat.
Sure thing. Yeah, let me switch back to computer mode so I can get on the internet.
I mean, I'm scrolling. Sure. There's this so much stuff. Wait, is this you? 10 p.m.?
Yep, that's
okay.
Me.
I finally found
Well, that's interesting.
What's interesting?
Oh, just something here going on with my system here. It said I was not getting a signal. Ah, there we go. There's my signal. That's what I'm looking for. Do you still need the link?
I got it.
Great.
I'm going to give it over to Josh so he can listen in. Anyway, there's actually I kind of need help. I'm trying. Like I said, I got three screens open. I ran into the television for 5 minutes trying to get caught up so I'd have something intelligent to say on your show. I mean, we went over, and it was deep in conversation, so I'm a little bit behind. I guess Obama's going to take Pennsylvania. I guess Scott Brown lost in Massachusetts. Tommy Thompson lost in Wisconsin.
Yeah, as of right now, it looks like the Senate's going to remain with the Democrat Party.
And I don't – is anybody surprised?
You know what I think? I think after tonight is said and done, I think we're going to have more of the same of what we've just experienced in the last 4 years. That's where I really think we're going to end up after this election.
More of the same. That's a profound statement. You mean it's going to be Obama,
that
House and Senate?
Yes, I think the Republicans will. We'll see how things pan out. I'm not trying to proselytize or anything like that, or predict or any prophet.
Yeah, you don't
want to
be
no
prostate. You don't do no prostate stuff on the radio.
No prostate. I never said prostate. No, I said proselytizing. Prophetizing or whatever you call it, prophecy. But I think it's going to be
prophetizing.
Well, there you go. I think the House is going to remain with the Republicans. The Democrats are going to remain with the Senate. And I think that Obama will win re-election. We will see. Through my understanding, last time I checked, at least in Ohio, Romney is losing to Obama at this point in Ohio. So I think it's going to be
Doesn't he own poll machines in key states?
Yeah, we'll see how that pans out. I don't have the volume on my. I have C-SPAN on right now. I don't know if that particularly is the best one to be watching right now. But let's see what we have here. Somebody's doing a speech.
Somebody's always doing a speech.
All right. I know it's an exciting night for a lot of folks, but. Linda McMahon, U.S. Senate candidate, Republican, Connecticut. So it looks like that is she's giving a. There is a speech. I don't know whether she's one or not. So I'll listen in. Well, the last time I looked, it was 157 Obama to 153 Romney. So it's still is pretty close. So what I've seen, it's almost practically neck and neck through what I've seen so far.
McCaskill 55% to Todd Akin 39%. See what happens whenever the RNC demolishes you.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Isn't
that wonderful? Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, it's going to be.
I said a while back, and of course I'll get criticized for it. But I said, I don't know, a week or two or three or four, who knows, man? Days fly. You know, they're just flying in this insanity. But I said Romney's going to cost us seats, or he's going to cost us wins, or he's going to cost us something because. A lot of people don't like him. Sorry.
You were saying that he was going to cost a lot of the down ballot. I remember you saying that.
Oh, yeah. You know, maybe they'll start paying me big money next time.
Yeah, but then if they pay you big money, then they'll expect you to lose your values and your principles and everything else. Uh-huh.
Well, okay, screw them then. Nope. I don't know.
That's not dinner I hear you eating
no,
there.
No, I'm not eating. I'm not eating. I never eat on the radio. I have no idea what are we doing here. You know, this whole environment. I mean, come on. There's an election. People are glued to their seats trying to find out which criminal is going to take over the country and which side is going to get power and get theirs. And
okay,
I'm interviewing a guy for 2016.
Okay, I've got a little bit of an update here, folks. I have, according to CNN, what I'm looking at is Obama 147, Romney 158. So that's what I'm looking at least for CNN. Well, Romney 158, Obama 147.
Okay, I got 158, 154 on, who's the dude with the suspenders that did the debate? Larry King.
Larry King.
Yeah. On his screen.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, people posted all kinds of links.
Shared all. Looks like shared. Really?
What?
Oh, I'm getting another phone call. My sister's trying to call me. It looks like Sherrod Brown in Ohio is going to be the victor there. Okay, hold on. Hold on, folks. Go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead. Yeah, I guess it depends on what you look at. I just pulled up a Washington Post site. Shows currently 158, 163, Obama over Romney, or whatever, Obama on the low end. According to that, I mean, I guess it really depends on who you want to look at. You almost need multiple screens and to, you know, throw it all together. And Ben Swan's got an interesting thing going on here. Fox 19, he's doing a kind of a live blog. Interesting. And he's got Watch Live, Fox 19 at 10 o'clock. Now, that's a guy I would want to listen to. So let's see what we got going here.
Okay, good. I'm back. Thanks, Chris.
Did you hear that?
What's that? Ben
Swan's going to have a live thing. He has a live blog going on. Somebody put a post.
Oh, great. Check that out. They put it in the chat?
No. Yeah. He had a chat environment going on through the election or through the whatever we are in. And then at the end, it says 10 o'clock, watch, go here. So I'm pulling over to that stream.
Yeah, where are you?
So
I will put,
what do you mean, where am I seeing it? On my computer.
You could put it in the chat. That'd be great. And then maybe I'll watch that instead of the TV. Great, I'll set that up.
Yeah, I got to bring you back up. I got something I lost. I need to log back on. I had a little computer glitch. I think I was running too many programs at the same time. And I'll put it in chat. Well, I'll put it in your chat right now while you're waiting for me. All right, it's in your chat. And I'm going to log on. Well, I guess I am logged on. No, I'm not. Yeah, I got more bandwidth than I have. My computers are, like, freaking out.
No, that's good. Well, I did get a hold bandwidth. Of someone today. He's a professor and an expert on Irish politics, and I know they have multi-party systems, and he's agreed to come to the show and discuss their political and party system, which would be an interesting discussion from over there in Ireland. So he agreed to come on to the show. So we'll get something like that
on.
Yeah, that'll be really cool. Proportional, preferential voting. It's really interesting. He can only give us maybe a half an hour. I'm going to try to squeeze an hour out of him, but we'll see.
Well, if he's only going to do a half hour, then what we need to do is make sure that we fill in an educational portion of it, because there's no way you can cover all this in a half hour.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll talk to him some more at length. Maybe try to squeeze another hour out of him. So, but anyway, that's after tonight's election, and that's something we're concentrating on now. But I do. Great. I do have the live streaming here that I'll listen to. Oh, that's great. Well, then I could flip over and go to a CNN. Or not CNN. Yeah, just CNN, another one I'm looking for, because I know the Ben Swan will be a little more, some local things on there. So it's definitely going to be a purely organic show with no real structure tonight. You think, Chris?
No structure, ma'am. We're in the game show of the century. $5.8 billion. Romney's been running for 6 years to get here so he could run neck and neck and everybody could sweat and freak out over a possible win-loss. I mean, isn't that just mind-boggling to you?
Yeah.
Worst president in the country, in the history of, that I can remember. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a perfect history major like Tex and Rex. But I'd say Obama's pretty bad. And this is the battle that we've led, that we're at. It shouldn't even be a battle. You know, I'll tell you something I found that was just so cool. All right, and I'll try to find the site again. But you can click on it. Every major election, all the way back to the founding first election with George Washington, and it shows you the results. And it's pretty amazing, you know, because if you go from all the way back to 78 or whatever, 78, whatever, don't get me, I'm sorry. But you can actually click on it, and it changes the map, and it goes through every major election. And if you understand a little bit of history, you knew what was going on in that era, whether we were at war or, you know, what the tone was, the 60s, you know what I'm saying, Vietnam, Korean War, and it goes through all of the elections and shows you the results.
Wow. Yeah, and but one of the things is, you know, Romney's been running for so long, spent so much money, and to be this, you know, and to be neck and neck, probably one of the worst, if not worst, presidents of, you know, history. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I saw a couple times, like when the Reagan sweep, or even when Nixon came in, or you know. And you just see this whole transition across the country, this wave of enthusiasm of, you know, we need something different in here. And he's got a real battle on his hands, and he shouldn't have a real battle on his hands. That's what's sad. That right there is going to be the narrative of a novel, of a article, I don't know, a blog, a post.
Definitely something, because, I mean, it's unbelievable that, you know, it should be this close at this point in time. It's just unbelievable. Yeah, you would think that you know, Romney should be crushing this guy, but he's not.
You want to know why?
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons that I know why. But go ahead.
Okay, he's a flip flopper. He's a known liar. He represents everything that America, that is part of what has brought America to its
knees. He's the same as Obama. Go ahead.
Everything that has brought America to its knees in his business dealings and his relationships that everybody from Tea Party to Occupy people despise. You know, he represents that top 1%. He's never proved that he's anything different than that. He's never owned or built a damn thing. He destroyed his opponents. We don't know if he's Mickey Mouse or Flipper or Donald Duck on the major issues, because he's flip-flopped so many times on the social core issues of conservatives and Christians. I mean, you can't, he's been out there too long. I mean, it's amazing to me how many people actually think he's a conservative Republican. It is amazing to me. Which means they're asleep at the stick. They haven't learned how to work their remote and turn on the TV. They haven't learned how to, you know, go into Google and go, Romney liberal, Romney gay marriage, Romney El Salvadorian death families, initial investors. I mean, whatever. I don't care. I mean, it just blows me away, you know. I mean, there's a thousand and one reasons. Rick Santorum said it perfectly. Not that I agree with Rick on much of anything. Is the worst Republican across the country to run against this man, because they are the same. The only difference is Romney made a bunch of money doing what Obama will do after he gets out of the presidency. Because it's all the same people.
Yeah, I was actually with a friend before I came on tonight, and I mean, he's convinced, you know, that Romney, I'm not saying he thinks Romney's the savior. I wouldn't go as far as to say that. But it's definitely where he thinks that Romney would definitely make a difference if he was elected over Obama.
You mean he would turn America into a corporatist, international corporatist country faster?
But they don't,
is that what
but
he means?
They don't see it that way. I mean, seriously, though, seriously, Romney supporters really don't see it that way.
Really?
No.
So Romney supporters and Obama supporters have the same brain waves that are able to be lied to and not able to decipher or have critical thinking? Is that what you're saying?
Here's a note in the Sherrod Brown, Josh Mandel race. Brown was 50% of the vote, Mandel was 44%, but there was a third party candidate there
right.
as well.
But
by the name of Scott Rupert, and he has pulled nearly 5% of the vote in that race.
Well, there's Mr. Rupert in our one of the races here in Ohio that's pulling 5%. I'm trying to remember which he was running for. Truth be told, it's one of the gentlemen I voted for was Mr. Rupert. And let's see, I can't remember exactly what he was running for. I made a list. But anyway, I digress on that. I'm just kind of watching some of the local politics here in Ohio on. But it is nice to see a third party who is, you know, getting at least, a, you know, 5% of the vote. And I just got a – that's interesting. Do you got a black screen from the – oh, there it is. Yep, it's turned black again from the coverage
what's
here. The local, the Ben Swan
Fox
coverage.
Mikey?
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's just gone black. So.
Well, that's because he's not pro-establishment. They probably squashed him like that debate the other night.
Oh, my gosh, that was unreal, that debate that night.
That was disgusting. So instead, what we get to hear is Stein and Johnson in a perfect sound, perfect screaming. Available
yeah, that was,
so
that was something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it's cool that Jimmy, at least for you know for the folks here, that we actually have you know someone in the media who will give you know third parties their due, you know, talk about what they're running for and things of that nature. You know what I mean?
Who?
Well, Ben Swan. He was talking about Rupert, who was running here in Ohio.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got a black screen. I'm rebooting that.
There you go. Black screen. Great.
Well,
come back.
Refresh, and then you get to listen to the commercial again. You know how that works.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it'll be back on. Well, I'll tell you what. I honestly don't know. It just blows me away that this last year that this is what we've produced. You know, I was reading some stuff last night. Was it Tex and Rex's show? You weren't on last night, right? Are you there?
I'm here. I'm just reading someone's chat on someone's Facebook chat, and I'm responding. Go ahead.
But I was on... I was bouncing around. You know how you're on the show, and just like what you were just doing, you know, you'll see a link, and you'll click on something. You're reading it while people are talking. And
multitasking. Yeah.
I was reading the comments at the bottom and the viciousness going between, you know, pro-Romney people who were trying to claim he was something he wasn't, and Obama supporters. You know what I'm saying?
And the Green Party, Jim Burns and Rich Stevenson, got a lot of votes.
Real quick.
4,000 votes.
Mm-hmm. They're talking about the Green Party and the Libertarian Party here in the first district getting some votes.
Cool.
See, I'm glad they're even talking about it. You know, they're talking about, you know, I don't want to talk about some local politics here. I apologize, folks, you know, but this is what I've got here. And they're talking about, you know, because there's a Libertarian here and a Green Party candidate running for the first district of the U.S. House of Representatives.
Good. You're talking about state house.
Right. Yeah. This is for the United States House of Representatives.
Oh, really? A Green Party.
Yeah, running for the U.S. House of Representatives.
What the hell did they do? what the hell would they do with a Green Party person to deal with? That'd be hilarious.
Well, let me tell you. Well, no. Yes, it was Stevenson. I know that name well. I won't say why, but I think you guys can figure it out.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a Libertarian and I don't know the Libertarian's name, let's be honest.
Well, there's 569 Libertarians running around the country. You know, not running around the country like in a big race, but it sounds like a marathon. But, you know.
Well, one thing I will say about Steve Shabbat, because it looks like he might be the one to win here in the 1st District in Ohio for the U.S. House of Representatives. He is a conservative. I will say that. Now, Steve Shabbat is a conservative. I'll give him that.
Libertarian?
What do you mean? Are you asking who the Libertarian was, or?
Who's Steve Shabbat? You're spitting out names. Is he a...
Steve Shabbat is a Republican, but I know he's a conservative.
Okay.
I know he's a conservative.
You said you were talking Libertarian and Green Party, and then you throw out a name, and I was like, okay.
Oh, I apologize. There was,
remember, I don't live there. I don't live there.
Stevenson was the Green Party candidate running the 1st District for the U.S. House of Representatives in Ohio.
I have no sound. Why do I have no sound?
From the Fox 19?
Yeah.
I've got some sound. And for the folks, I see some new folks in the chat and some new folks listening. And also, if you're listening from the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, go ahead and if you'd like, call in, tell us your thoughts and feelings about the way the election is going tonight, or if you'd like to chime in about what's going on in your particular state. Feel free to call in at area code 347-945-7428. But if you'd like to just participate in the chat, that's fine too. But also, while I am talking about the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, and we know that there's a lot of stores out there talking about Christmas, so I think a great Christmas gift would be for folks to go to the website, and I have a link there where people can, in essence, adopt a baby elephant whose parents were killed by poachers there in Kenya, and it's only $50 a year. And I think what you get from that is, you get a little picture of the elephant that you're sponsoring or adopting or whatever. Of course, the elephant's not living at your home, so it's not that kind of adoption. But I think it's a great gift for your children. They can get, updates and things of that nature from the from doing that. And as I said, it's only $50 a year, and it goes to a great cause. So back to the election coverage, I just wanted to throw that out there since I was talking about the website. And also, if you do sponsor or adopt one of these baby elephants, just give me a message through the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, Eat Rhino's Trog, then give me a message and I will give you a shout out on the show for your donation or your sponsorship of one of these baby elephants. And Trog, as I say, eat a rhino, not a baby elephant. So I wanted to get that out there. So let's go back. You still get a black screen there? Okay.
No, I refreshed a long time ago.
Okay, great.
I refreshed a long time ago.
Well, would they just have some
sound?
The sound? Okay. Well, they just... I'm flipping up. I'm flipping back and forth all over the place. I'm on CNN right now. They're doing some analysis of, looks like, Wisconsin.
Well, HuffPost has not changed this. 173-163.
Yeah, I still have Romney with one from CNN. Romney still with 158 and Obama 147. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me how close this is at this point. It really is.
Yeah, stupid. So did they call Michigan?
No, they have not called Michigan.
Okay.
Let me recount that. Yes, they called Michigan, and Michigan has gone to Obama. Not that that surprises anyone.
Minnesota, 55-43. Wisconsin, 51-47. Oh, Romney? Wisconsin, 17%, I'm sorry. Illinois, Obama, 59-38. Michigan, 50-48. 20% reporting.
Virginia, they have 51 Romney, 48 Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I really wish it would tell us in Virginia what Virgil Goode is doing in Virginia.
They ain't going to tell you crap.
They were at first. Actually, at first, the local stations here were covering what the third parties were doing. I know I've seen it, but it does not seem to be covering anymore. I wonder if someone made a phone call and said, hey, get that off the screens there about the information
for
the third parties. Sure.
I have a question for you. What's the population of Florida?
The population of Florida? I have to be honest. I don't know what the population of Florida is. But this time, what's the population of Florida? You've got it?
I'll look it up. Go ahead.
You look it up, and while we have a caller come in, and the area code 610, if you could just tell us your name, and just for my curiosity, your location, what I mean by location, state, and just tell us what's on your mind. So 610, your mic is live. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Richard Troni. I'm from just outside Philadelphia.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. A strong Romney supporter. I was actually at the rally a couple days ago.
So do you lift weights? Do you lift weights or something? Or you said a strong Romney supporter? I was trying to make a joke. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I do lift them, but yeah, I know.
I'm just trying to make a joke. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm from that area. I know that I'm not sure about my dad. I know that my mom, who is usually a swing voter, voted for Romney as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, you know, it wasn't enough because Obama did carry that state. And, you know, a couple of the other, you know, moderate swing states are starting to go his direction. Really, the only miss I've had so far is New Hampshire. I thought that would go to Romney, but that wasn't the case. And I don't know right now. I mean, Ohio is really starting to go towards Obama, which will pretty much give him the election.
You say you're a strong Romney supporter, and, you know, we welcome you on the show. Thank you very much for calling in. But why are you a strong Romney supporter? Why not Obama, or why not one of the other candidates that you don't hear a lot of mention out, such as a Jill Stein or a Virgil – well, it wouldn't be for you, a Jill Stein, but a Virgil Goode or a, a Gary Johnson?
Well, that's a good question, actually, and I'm glad you brought that up. Well, I would never consider voting Democratic. I'm against a lot of their views. And it's good that you mentioned Virgil Goode in the Constitution Party. Actually, 2008, I very much thought about voting for Chuck Baldwin, who represented the Constitution Party. And especially after seeing him, I think he debated Ralph Nader in a third-party presidential debate. And by then, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that Obama was going to win the election. I mean, John McCain really had no chance by that point in time, you know, to win.
It was a perfect storm against Republicans, in my opinion, in 2008,
yeah.
But go ahead.
And that's the thing. You say to yourself, well, do you still want to vote for McCain knowing he can't win, or do you want to vote for someone like Chuck Baldwin knowing that he also can't win, but, you know, do you want to cast the vote on principle? And, you know, ultimately, I did vote for McCain, I think mainly because I went to a rally.
Let me interject. Be honest. You really voted for Palin, not McCain, right?
Oh, for sure. I'm going to tell you that's true. It was because of Sarah Palin. I mean, of course, Mitt Romney was considered a vice presidential candidate. I would have voted there, but someone like Joe Lieberman never would have. It probably would have been third party all along. And the thing is that like Chuck Baldwin, Virgil Goode was not on the ballot in PA. He did have write-in status, but, you know, ultimately it came down to the fact that, one, Romney did have a chance to win this year, and two, he had a chance to win Pennsylvania, at least going up until, you know, up until Election Day. So it made, it, 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 you know, it, it made the most sense to vote for Romney. You know, I don't want to say lesser of two evils because I don't really think he's that evil to me. I mean, I do support him, but at the same time, you know, it made sense not to, you know, do a principal vote when you knew that your state was in balance. But I have told people that if Romney does not win, I'm seriously thinking about leaving the Republican Party and either maybe becoming independent or possibly joining the Constitution Party, because I think that the Republican Party isn't conservative enough for me anymore.
There you go. And actually, I was going to ask you, if you didn't mind, if I asked you a few questions, and one of those, of course, is if you would consider Romney a conservative, and I believe you just answered that.
I think he is.
Go ahead.
More than McCain. For sure, but I still think
more than McCain, Maryland. That's interesting.
Yeah, I definitely think he's more conservative than McCain. Really, and I was talking to someone about this earlier. You look back, even going back to, you know, the second Bush, you know, it's really been going more towards the moderate direction. I mean, George H.W. you know, was pretty conservative. Reagan was very conservative. Nixon was very conservative as well. But now these candidates that we have, you know, are starting to get more towards the moderate, where they figure, you know, they can get the moderate, you know, vote, but at the same time they lose that, you know, hardcore conservative vote.
Indeed.
Well,
go ahead, Chris.
I don't know. I think conservative is a misnomer. I think it's just like, you know, libertarian. I mean, liberal. I mean, come on, classical liberal was our founding fathers. It's been co-opted. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this concept of terminology, conservatives and moderates, Romney ain't a moderate. He's not even a moderate. He's a progressive. I'm 54 years old. There's no way in the world we would have run him as a moderate and even run him 25, 30 years ago in my youth as an adult. He would have ran as a Democrat, and we wouldn't have batted an eye. So our whole perception of what people call conservative, I think the conservative is almost going to have to be flushed down the damn toilet, and we're going to have to start using the
term.
Tell us
when it comes to the Republican Party.
Constitutionalist, because I think conservative's been co-opted.
Understood.
We have to determine what is important to us, and there is not a person running, very few of them across this country, unless they're with a Constitution Party, some of the libertarians, maybe one or two Republicans who didn't tell the Republican Party they were actually constitutionalists, but Romney and Obama, they'll both abuse the hell out of the Constitution. So we need to redefine this. And it's interesting you say Constitution Party, because we've interviewed, I don't know what, 12, 15 of them, Robert, including Virgil Goode three or four times, Jim Clymer.
Right.
I interviewed Robbie Wells tonight with Joshua, hardcore constitutionalists. Because I find that people who ground themselves in the Constitution and understand the original intent of our founding fathers and who've taken the time to understand the difference between Federalists and Anti-Federalists have a whole different perspective of how they view somebody like Romney. Because when I look at Romney and what he did in Massachusetts, I'm like going, I wouldn't touch that guy with a 10-foot pole. He doesn't even fit anywhere in the perception of what I believe needs to lead this country. But that's me. And I don't consider that as a conservative. I consider that as a constitutionalist. But that's just me.
And speaking of that, Chris, and I want to bring this to our caller, is you're saying in the future, let's say if Romney does not win, and frankly, at this point in time, I think that we're going to have the same as we did the last 4 years, where the House will be controlled by the Republicans, Democrats, the Senate, and I believe Obama will. Unbelievably enough, pull this off and win and win re-election.
After 6 years of campaigning and billions of dollars, Romney couldn't beat the worst president in the face of our history.
Of course, I think Newt Gingrich could have beat him, but I don't think Romney. But bringing it back to you, is you mentioned, you know, maybe afterwards joining the Constitution Party. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
I don't know. I just think that, you know, especially seeing, you know, some of the presidential candidates, of course, you mentioned Virgil Goode and also Chuck Baldwin.
Baldwin's awesome.
Recently. It seems like their views, you know, more align, you know, with mine, you know, than most of the conservative candidates.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. These guys are pitiful. All right, the Republican Party. I don't know. When do you think the Republican Party totally lost it? I mean, come on. Nixon gave us the EPA. He gave us Planned Parenthood, and he finally took us off the gold standard. Now, I know some economists would argue that it was necessary and all this kind of crap, but the bottom line is our country went to hell from that point forward. We've got the graphs from inflation. You know, it just skyrocketed. Everything, our national debt, there was a lot of other things going on. There was also our society was breaking down. But, you know, I mean, where did it go to hell with the Republicans? Was it 1903? I mean, come on.
Reagan was a very strong conservative. You know, I think that the Reagan years were a good time to be a conservative.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah, no, I'd give Reagan kudos for that, except for that. His illegal alien deal that set the stage for what we live today. But before that, I see a whole slew of crooks. And you know, Newt gets in there and does a sweeping win and works for 20 years of his life to get a Republican majority, and they skewer him and stick him over a burner and try to destroy him because he was the most attacked man in Washington because he had defeated the Democrats because Republicans couldn't do it. They had no guts. They had no cojones. And then after he leaves, he finally gets some, you know, a little bit of reform done. It gets the country moving in the right direction with an extremely liberal president, controlled Senate by the enemy, so to speak. And then they turn around, the Republicans take back over, and they have. They're like the Democrats of my youth. I don't get it. I mean, where did we lose this? Or were they always just liars with a few good people along the way, I guess is the question.
Yeah.
And what do you – yeah, go ahead, sir. What do you think?
About what?
Well, what was Chris just said?
I mean, were they always this greedy and stupid and ridiculous and liars to their constituency besides of a couple good guys along the journey? I mean, where do you think it went bad?
I don't know.
For Republicans.
I mean, it's hard. It's hard to say. Like I said, you know, really, really, what really did the Republicans in was Bush's second term, when you think about it, because that's when everything.
Or his first
term. Well, no, he still had reelection. Actually, when you think about it, I think that tonight is a lot like 2004.
Thanks for the offer, but I might have to.
Yeah, with Obama being like you know playing the role of Bush and Mitt Romney playing the role of John Kerry. You have a president who's, you know, not that popular, averagely popular, but at the same time, you know, the other party's candidate isn't really that, that strong in that, you know.
Interesting analogy.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while. So.
Interesting. You should have called in earlier. I mean, like weeks ago, we would have had some good conversation leading up to this.
You know what? I thought about calling in after that third party debate, but I think I was too tired. You know, I think, is one of you, I guess, friends of mine on Facebook?
What's that?
I think one of you guys, that's why I got this thing, a friend of mine, I guess, on Facebook.
Possibly, yeah. Who knows?
I know,
I mean,
right,
you do
Chris
these shows.
Yeah, Chris has a page, and then sometimes I promote you on, there are lots of them that promote on Facebook, sure.
Yeah, okay. Because that's probably how I found out of you when I was going to watch the third part, which I watched. Obviously, Larry King moderated it, enjoyed it very well. And actually, a friend of mine, who I actually told him about that, was thinking about voting for a third party. He was he's an African-American, a strong Obama supporter. He's a friend of mine from college in 2008. And he elected, and especially after watching that debate, he elected to vote for a third party candidate. I asked him which one he did, and it was Rocky Anderson. He actually, it was
really?
A write-in, because he had write-in status in New York.
Well, interesting.
And so he decided to do that. I mean, probably won't make a difference in the long run, because New York was solidly Obama. But it tells you, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, someone like him who was a strong Obama supporter back in 2008 elected to vote third party this year.
Interesting. Yeah, the second debate that Nader did was just the technology just went to hell. Hell in a handbasket, and it was a bummer because they really, you know, they asked real questions. That first free and equal debate, they had six questions out there. That Nader debate, I mean, they were in it. I mean, they had multiple questions, and Nader's no fool, and he they got into a lot of deep stuff.
I'm interjecting here. I just said, looks like here that they just gave Arizona to Mitt Romney, and if it scrolls over, it looks like Minnesota to Obama. So it looks like, unbelievable, folks, 157 Obama, 169 Romney.
Does
not tell us about where we're at politically. Just, wow. Go ahead, guys.
Wait. I was going to say, my TV says 174, 173. Romney.
Oh, wow. Okay. Then, tell the folks, which channel are you looking at? This
Fox
is from CNN.
Fox News.
Okay. This was CNN. Okay.
Yeah. I saw that CNN had it. I flipped over and they hadn't caught as many states. But, yeah.
Well, CNN might very well be more cautious than Fox News, especially if a state looks like it's going to go to Romney, because we know, at least, you know, I could say pretty confidently on the show that they've been pushing for Romney for quite some time. So,
you know what? I've been watching.
Chilling for Romney, I should say.
Balance, but even I think they've been leading towards Romney a lot.
Who? Robert interrupted you. Who did you say?
Fox News.
Oh, Fox! Hell, it's been Romney for ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do listen. A lot of the conservative pundits are now on FM radio. If you don't know, the former Family Radio signal, Howard Camping's Family Radio, 106.9, they sold that recently to Merlin Media. So all of the conservative pundits, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin are all on IQ 106.9 in Philadelphia.
Interesting. Yeah, I've pretty much blackballed all of them. After what I saw in the primaries, I used to live on those guys, you know, and not anymore.
Yeah.
What I saw through the primary, I just was like, you got to be kidding me. This is what our country is. It's just a game show, you know. Got a multi-billion-dollar process of all these people over here that are supposed to represent a certain ideology, and all they were was political pundits.
I think Herman Cain might have been a pretty good choice had he not had those extramarital affairs at the beginning of the primary.
If that was even the case, you know what I mean? Because after he suspended his campaign, did you really hear much about it, you know?
I should mention Mitt Romney is up by 1.5 million in the popular vote, so I think we very much could see a split.
But you don't win by popular vote. Heck, Hillary won the popular vote.
Yeah, well, primaries are, you know, the popular vote is really, really different in primaries, I think, because as it goes on,
yeah,
and in general, because it's all on one night. But then again, you know, obviously, you know, the turnout is different in states because solid states, you know, you're going to get a lower turn. You're not going to get as many people, you know, especially for the opposition voting. But yeah, but that is correct. And that's but the thing is with Herman Cain is that I think he would. I mean, I think he would have pulled in most, if not all, of the black Republicans, who, you know, they almost all voted for Obama in 2008. A number of them still voted for Obama this year. But I think Herman Cain would have pulled in most, if not all, of the black Republicans, and probably even a lot of, you know, the black moderates and Democrats who were actually fed up with Obama. I think, you know, if you want to, you know, to pull in some of those black vote, I think you needed Herman Cain. And, you know, I think that, you know, he would have been good enough, you know, for most of the Republicans, that I think that might have been a better shot.
Yeah, he was an interesting character, you know. He really, outside of the situation with the women, he really stumbled over some of the foreign policy issues. People were already looking at him under a microscope, and then he stumbled all over himself a couple of times, and that was too bad because I have no judgment on the woman thing, because it's like anything, in my opinion, that was probably run by the Republicans to get rid of him. But, you know, in my opinion, but whatever that's worth. But he's an easy guy to like. He really is. You know what I mean? He the way he speaks, he's got a good mind. He understands finance. I mean, you know, he's nobody's fool. but I think he stepped in it, you know, and he just, you know, to run the country, you got to understand, I mean, I got to give Romney some kudos, which I think this would be the first positive thing that's ever come out of my mouth about Mitt Romney.
Chris, but, you're going to have to leave the show, man. If you're going to talk good about Mitt Romney, you just need to have a damn thing. Now, go ahead, man. I'm just joking.
Go ahead. Actually, I at the very beginning of the debate, let's say, like, June, July of 2011, I kind of considered Herman Cain to be, you know, pretty much, you know, one of those fringe candidates. I didn't think he would have any chance for the nomination. In fact, I actually put it between – well, Mitt Romney, who got the nomination, but the other two I thought had the best chance. Well, you know, Rick Santorum was from my state, so I kind of had a little bit of interest in, but the other two were actually Michelle Bachmann, and believe it or not, Tim Pawlenty, who dropped out very early on. He would have been, you know, one of my, you know, finalist picks to get the nominee, but he dropped out very early on.
Interesting.
In one of the first.
Tim Pawlenty wasn't in long enough to for me to really vet him, so I couldn't give you a yay or nay on him. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about his actual record. You know, I mean, debates are one thing. I want to know what a guy's knowledge base is, what their background is. You know, I mean, whatever. I can talk good. You know, I've never elected anybody off a debate. But anyway, my one good thing to say about Romney is he at least polished up on foreign policy to some degree. And so it made it sound like he kind of almost knew what he was talking about. You've got to have the foreign policy conversation down. And Herman just tripped all over that, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, he probably spent some time with Newt Gingrich.
The two guys that know more about foreign policy than anybody is Huntsman and Gingrich. My God, that three-hour Lincoln-Douglas debate with them, all you have to do is watch that and go on. I don't care who gets elected. You need these guys in government because they get it. They get the world picture. But we don't got them.
Now, and I tell you what, and honestly, at least when it comes down to between the Republicans and the Democrats, I think that if it would have been someone such as a Newt Gingrich who was running against Obama other than Mitt Romney, I think it would see these Electoral College vote counts being much farther apart than they are now. And the reason I say that is because you would see, at least, you know, of course, with the record, maybe not as much as the rhetoric, is you would see more of a contrast between the two candidates, which if anyone's really done their homework on Romney and Obama, and especially looking at their records, then you're not going to see – that much of a difference between them.
I don't.
And you said a Romney supporter, but yeah, you did also concede that you looked at the folks such as the Constitution Party. What's your thoughts on that? About Romney's record.
Well, you know, honestly, you know, he's obviously, you know, like he says he's going to cut. He said he was going to cut Obamacare. But then, you know, we know that, you know, he probably would have, you know, just had something similar to it if he did repeal Obamacare. And
no.
I don't know, you know, he's obviously, you know, abortion, I'm a strong pro-lifer. And actually, you know, I know that he's had kind of like, you know, he's been kind of like, you know, on the fence with that. He was, you know, pro-choice for a while and then was pro-life. And, you know, Virgil Good is definitely the most pro-life.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sound like a Constitution Party kind of guy. Go ahead.
Yeah. And the thing was, but then, you know, I have a friend on Facebook who has been friends for a long time who's part of, you know, this whole pro-life organization. And he kept telling people, you know, about Romney. But I said, you know what? There's another candidate out there from, you know, Virgil Good of the Constitution Party, who's a lot more pro-life than Romney. But then him and other people say, well, you know, that'll take too much away from Romney. You know, that'll cost Romney the election. And I kind of shut up a little bit about it because knowing that he comes from the, you know, from the critical state of Ohio and, you know, tried to say, well, you know, if Romney has a chance to win Ohio. But I also replied back to on a YouTube about someone who was commenting on a Virgil Good thing with another pro-life. I said, well, you know what? I think you say about wasting a vote on a third party. I think if you vote for Mitt Romney, you might be, you know, wasting your vote because, you know, he doesn't align. If you're truly a single-issue pro-life voter, she doesn't align, you know, as much with your views as, you know, say Virgil Good. And that's the thing. I mean, anyway, you know, I go to church all the time. I'm a, you know, I'm a devout Roman Catholic, and obviously they are very strongly pro-life. And, you know, and they give you these, you know, stuff in the sermon, and they pass off these flyers and stuff, but they only mention the two candidates. They only mention Obama and Romney. They don't even mention the third-party candidates. They say, well, you know,
Hold on, sir. I'm going to interject. California has just California, Hawaii, and Washington, of course, no states that should surprise us, have just been, at least by CNN, been projected to go to Romney, which I find it, well, I guess it is 11 o'clock in it. Yes. And Idaho and Montana have just been projected to go to Mitt Romney.
So right now, hold on, real quick.
Hold on. What it looks like is 228 for Obama, 176 for Romney. Can we really? I'm just flabbergasted. I must admit, I'm flabbergasted. I'm no fan of Mitt Romney. I would admit that 100%. But it just—it's unbelievable to me that Romney is at this point, you know. 64 electoral, you know. He's 52 electoral college votes behind Romney right now. I mean, Obama.
Robert,
you're talking so forcefully that you're distorting your voice on your headset.
I'm sorry. What I'm saying is Romney right now is behind like 52 electoral college at this point.
Yeah,
and
it's not the same for me. You have less Obama, but you also have less Romney. So.
And then here's the states that are, you know, left. You have Nevada, Alaska. Of course, Alaska probably get red. And then let's see. Looking at the map here. Of course, you have Ohio left. You have Virginia left. You have Florida left. But it's, you know, the swing states that 270towin.com is placed as the, you know, the swing states are pretty much the states that are left. It's unbelievable. We could very well, it's 11 p.m. Eastern time. We could very well know by the end of this show who the next president, or if there's a continuation of the Obama campaign.
Yep.
Remember, administration.
Was it 2008, this is the exact time they called it, 11 o'clock, so.
Wow. Let me ask you a question, Robert. You just said 270 to win, and I don't see it changing. Nothing's changing on here. What were you looking at?
I'm on CNN.
Oh, well, you just said 270 to win, and I...
I'm just talking about the swing states that 270 to win we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
North Carolina, it looks like North Carolina just went to Romney. Obama just got, I think it said Wisconsin. So now it's updated where Obama, 238. That means he's only 32 away. And Romney is 191.
Robert.
This is looking just like, I'm telling you, this is looking just like the way things turned out on www.270towin. And let me tell you, if Virgil Goode, and you said you were thinking about voting for the Constitution Party and for the folks in Virginia. It's a moot point, I know, at this point. But if Virgil Goode would have won Virginia and if things would turn out the way that 270towin.com would have has shown it, then it would have, by Virgil Goode getting winning Virginia, one third-party candidate winning one state, would have kept both Romney and Obama from getting the 270 electoral college votes to win. Go ahead.
I don't think he was ever going to win Virginia, but he might do. Have they called Virginia yet?
No, but I mean, if he would have, that's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
He could end up being the spoiler. And don't forget, he could end up costing Romney Virginia, and if even if Romney somehow can win both Florida and Ohio, If he doesn't get Virginia, he still doesn't win. So,
and same with Obama, actually, too. Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, Obama needs Virginia just as much as Romney does.
Well, not
but
really.
Because
I tell you something, I have New Hampshire. All my scenarios, I didn't give him Romney Virginia, but I kind of penciled him in. So when I was looking at the things,
mm-hmm.
I kind of penciled him into Virginia. It was Florida, North Carolina. Have they called Colorado yet?
I do not believe they called Colorado, no.
North Carolina, Virginia, Colorado, and then New Hampshire, which I already lost, that one.
Colorado's at 36% reporting, 50.6 to Romney, 47.4.
All right.
And one thing is, there's about 54 minutes left in the show, which is still an hour. However, if we do not know who the victor is at midnight tonight when the official time for the show ends, there is a recording session. So, folks, if you'd like to stay on and be a part of the show after midnight to get the rest of the election results, if we do not know by midnight tonight, then call in at area code 347-945-7428. Of course, you do not have to call in immediately because we do still have 53 minutes before this live portion of the show ends. But if you want to get into the extra time, if it comes to that, then that would be the number to get to in order to do that. Go ahead, Chris. And your name again,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah, Robert.
610.
Hello?
Yes, your name again?
Richard.
Okay, thank you, Richard. Go ahead, Chris,
Robert,
and then Richard. Yes.
Jump over to my group and take a look at that map I just put on there. You're going to love it.
Okay, great. I will do so.
The results are in.
It's all black. It's hilarious.
But look at the.
The joke is on the American
the
people.
Legend. Look at the legend. Bankers win.
Incomplete results.
Yeah, it goes, the
bankers win.
Democrats win, Republicans win, bankers win, all black. That's pretty,
That's funny.
It don't matter, whichever one.
Did you make that, Chris?
No, I just found it over on a Ron Paul site.
Indeed. So, Richard, what was your thought on the whole Ron Paul? And, I know there's talk about Ron Paul possibly having the opportunity to take his name, things of that nature. Did you know a lot about the Ron Paul movement or revolution?
Oh, yes, very much.
Okay. Well, moving forward, one of the things we talked about beyond the election tonight is, I go back to where you talk about the possibility of you voting for the Constitution Party if Romney does not win. Now, let's say Obama gets reelected. Tomorrow, and I'm not joking, tomorrow would be actually a day for folks to go out and try to get signatures. I mean, because they're going to need so many. Of course, if they don't get the third parties, including the Constitution Party, if they don't reach the 5% threshold, at least in a lot of states, then they're going to need a whole, a ton of ballots. And no matter who wins, whether it's Obama or Romney, there's still going to be a lot of work to do for this country. So you're saying with the Constitution Party, would that be something that you would be interested in doing is to perhaps, as one example, going out collecting signatures and things of that nature, preparing for, and I think tomorrow would be the day to start preparing for, 2014.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't want it to be something that, I'm going to make the decision tomorrow on. But I think, like you said, I mean, definitely, if I'm going to make the switch, it'll definitely be by the 2014 midterm elections. I mean, although it should be said that, I mean, Constitution Party those types of parties aren't really, I believe, as big a factor in, like, the Senate and the House and stuff. Really, it's just president. But like I said, I mean, if I join the Constitution, that doesn't mean that I, you know, which called that I'll still, you know, which called that I still, you know, that I still won't vote, you know, for the Republicans, you know, a considerable amount of time. In fact, in many circumstances, you know, if I'm going to vote at all, if there's no Constitution Party candidate, and especially if there's no Libertarian candidate, then I'm probably going to vote for the, you know, Republican, you know, candidate. Really, ever since I started voting, I've usually always voted a straight Republican ticket. As was the case this year, but like you said, I'm thinking about starting to branch off a lot.
Richard, real quick, it looks like you got some news here from CNN. It says projection: Obama wins Iowa, which that's kind of surprises me. But it looks like he's Obama wins Iowa. Go ahead.
Yeah. Right, we don't have that info. Well, I was almost irrelevant. The only thing was that after losing New Hampshire, you know, if we got that and Wisconsin, it could have offset Ohio. But that's obviously not going to happen. So I don't really know if Iowa has that much relevancy now.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like you said, I mean, you know, another state, you know, but either way, I mean, Iowa, knowing that, you know, at least in my scenarios, it wasn't going to have that much relevancy. I really didn't, you know, pick a winner per se. But if I had to pick a winner, it probably would have been Obama in Iowa. So.
Interesting.
Okay, and at this time, gentlemen, and of course we will keep everyone on the line here, is we have someone who's visited the show on a number of occasions, and perhaps I will open up the mic. Let's see if I can see him in chat real quick. And I will, if you'd like to stay in, okay, I'll catch in for. Okay, I got most of what was said in chat, so I'm going to open up Gunny's mic, and if you just want to listen at this point, and then perhaps chime in after the recording time. Of course, we'd always like to hear from you, so I'm opening up your mic. Hi, Gunny, how are you tonight?
Good evening.
Good evening. In the spirit of it still being, at least in my opinion, close enough to Halloween to be a Halloween season, so go ahead.
Yeah,
I love Halloween.
I don't know. You know, I was talking with a couple of friends and chatting on Facebook with some of my Constitution Party associates and stuff, and you know, I really am shocked about some of the races in terms of how well we thought a couple of them were going to do, especially in Missouri with Cynthia Davis, who was a four-time elected state representative, voted the most constitutional legislator in the state of Missouri, and she only has been coming in at, and I don't think they've finished their precincts yet, and they've been, she's only come in at 2%.
That's disgusting.
With the Libertarian being at 3, the Republican, is winning right now. And she was endorsed by the Federation for Right to Life and all these other organizations. And, you know, to see this is disgusting. Bernie DeCastro, 26% to the guy.
That's it, Bernie?
That's it. The guy who's winning it is 74%. And guess what? The guy who's winning it doesn't even have his name on the ballot. It's the other guy's name that's on the ballot. He just had to fill in, and since he filled in, the other guy's name is the one that's on the ballot. So people who are
you're talking about the Republican they threw in because the other guy had an affair and got kicked off.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so the people who are voting for this guy isn't even voting for that guy. And Bernie's only at 26%. Imagine that race.
Wow.
I mean, Bernie Sanders eats, sleeps, and breathes the Constitution.
That's DeCastro.
DeCastro. And they're voting for a guy they don't even know who he is.
That's right.
He came in at the last minute. Let me tell you, Republicans have become as stupid as I used to think Democrats are.
Well, you know what? I will be honest with you. I had no idea. When I was in the Marine Corps, I'm going to give you a little bit of a confession here. When I was in the Marine Corps,
careful. I don't know if I want to know those confessions.
Okay, I'm not fessing up everything, all right? It was just my mixed up belief that we Americans were the most brilliant people on the face of the planet until I retired. Seriously, I mean, when you've been around the world and you see the garbage that goes on around this world, I mean, I had this arrogant belief that we were the singularly most brilliant people on the face of this planet. And when I got back and started discovering what was going on and saw that the people for what they really are, and by and large, most of them are, can be very adequately described as sheeple, okay?
Yeah.
And so it's somewhat disheartening to me because, I mean, you know, I looked at who was endorsing Bernie DeCastro. I mean, the endorsements that he received.
Well,
and,
yeah, and the Sheriff Mack even. Come on, the guy's a freaking national hero.
How is it possible he's only at 26%? I could see him possibly losing by a very close margin, but we're talking he only got one-third of the vote.
You
Not
know what
even
it is?
Quarter of the
you
vote.
Know what it is? I hate to tell you this, but you know what it is? It's the programming of voting for the R.
Well,
you've got to vote party. It's like those idiots in California. You know, my buddy that got Ron Paul on the ballot in California, he was talking to Mitt Romney, people going, hell, your vote isn't going to count. He's already lost. You might as well vote for a third party or write in Ron Paul or whatever and make a statement and do something because you're going to lose California. And they go, I can't. I have to vote for Mitt.
Yeah.
People don't. They're brain damaged. They're programmed sheep.
Well, I think this time.
God, you get me riled up now.
I'm chalking it up, I think,
more
to
the
fear factor. I think fear factor, you know, that was being used at the top level for the presidential race really was the factor that permeated everything. I mean, it just
filtered all the
way through. I think the fear factor was the thing that really killed it.
Well, you know what's really going to kill it this time? Romney losing. I told people a month ago that Romney's going to cost us down ballots. And
it looks like that's happening. I have a electoral college count, and it has Obama
256. I have
268. Okay, I see 250. Well, this is CNN. 256 to 201. Who's got 268?
Huff.
Huffington?
Huff. Yes.
No. Well, it looks like there's Nevada, Colorado, Ohio, Virginia, and Florida. Who do they have of those states that CNN does not?
Okay, who are you? Whoa. Read that off again.
CNN.
Give me the states. Give me the states.
It looks like Colorado.
Hold on, my wife is looking at me.
Sure.
Fox has 262, my wife just said.
Oh,
we're
shit.
We're all on different stations.
CNN just projected Barack Obama reelected president.
Barack Obama?
Barack Obama reelected president. CNN just.
I like Barack Obama. That's
God,
pretty funny.
You got to. Wow. And
are you surprised?
No, because there has not been, and I've said this from the very beginning, that there has not been a moderate to liberal Republican who has won a general election in 40 years. In 40 years, there has not been a moderate or liberal Republican that has won in a general election in 40 years.
Who won?
Well, they just gave Obama Ohio. CNN just gave Obama Ohio. As I said,
I already said earlier,
we are going to have the same for the next 4 years that we just had the last 4 years.
Well, let me ask you a question. Well, is this
not
bad
surprised.
Enough? Is this bad enough that they'll get rid of that piece of Randy? Help me. Proper English, John Boehner.
And you know what they're going to do? Randy and
because
Chris,
if you don't get rid of, if you do not
well,
get
you
rid
know,
of Boehner,
he,
if you don't wait, let me finish. If you don't get rid of Boehner for what he's given handed to Obama on a silver platter the last 2 years, if you don't get rid of him, we're screwed. Obama's not the problem. The House with no testicles and John Boehner at the head is the problem. They have given him everything. And,
well,
that, and if people don't wake up, if they don't wake up, we're going to lose this country. It isn't Obama. It's the House.
Well, you know, if Obama takes it, you know what's funny? If you actually look at any I mean, none of these percentages – well,
hold on,
reflect.
Folks. Hold on. Look, Randy, I apologize for interrupting
okay, go ahead.
You. I just want to bring someone else on, someone we all know very well, and that is Rex from the Tex and Rex Show is on the line. So I would like at this time, especially since they called it for the reelection of Barack Obama, I want to let him in. Go ahead, Rex.
Good job, sheeple. You got four more years of Marxist shitbag because you elected Romney as your nominee, who's not even a conservative. So I'm feeling very passionate about telling you how shocked I am. I tell you.
Are you shocked
that
that
Obama beat Romney? I mean, Romney's severely conservative. He's got good hair. He had a lot of money. It's amazing that he didn't win. It's almost like someone should have told the Republicans that this was going to happen if they ran this rhino. But, you know, it didn't happen. And I can't understand why. It's so weird. I mean, Prince Pubic and Boehner not only lost gaining the White House, but they lost seats in Congress. It's a phenomenal hoot screw. Fantastic. Good job, GOP. We tried to tell you. You didn't listen. And this just shows you, the Republican Party's dead.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You know, it's third party's fault. I can't, you know, if we didn't have these blasted third parties, you know, the Republicans would have won it all. So,
Randy?
You know, it's third
Randy,
party
Randy,
fault.
Randy, you can't have a third party until you have a second one.
Yeah, but
blaming a unicorn.
Got to have somebody to blame, and it was those blasted third-party people, you know, that, you know, convinced enough people not to vote for Romney, because I must have had the power to go out there and convince a lot of people not to vote for Romney.
Well, I got a question for you. How many people who were passionately voting Romney did you actually convince to vote for Virgil Gut?
No.
None?
Zero.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, exactly.
I know,
not a one.
Stop a lot of people.
You know who cost? You know,
and you know what, folks? And you know what, folks? We will be the Rex, you Chris, me, Randy. We will be the ones who actually, ironically enough, will be the folks to be blamed for Romney losing the election. You know, for at least our efforts will be the blame of that.
What do you mean, we, white man? I'm not taking any of this blame.
You're in there, Rex.
I'm not taking any of this blame.
They're going to try to give it to us.
I didn't vote for Romney, and I didn't vote for Obama, so you can't blame me for this mess.
Hey,
right.
This is all on you.
Okay, now, but here might be some good news. We got Doug Aiden out in Colorado. Who posted on Facebook on our Constitution Party candidates that he is currently at 59% and Gardner is at 36%. So we might have a constitutionalist get he's running, I believe, for House Representative District 4 there.
Cool.
So
I
do
Randy, that I got to tell you one thing. I'm kind of against the whole, you know, legalizing marijuana, but I think that they smoke pot in Colorado in large and copious amounts, so maybe there's a correlation between pot smoking and voting constitutionalist. I'm just saying.
Oh my goodness.
I'm just yanking your chain.
Hey, you know, well, you know, Illinois, that in fact I define it this way. Illinois ratified their constitution in 1970. And in this
while they were smoking pot,
the article states that nothing in this Constitution shall be construed as limiting the power of the legislature. And so I've said it time immemorial now that this Constitution that was ratified in Illinois was ratified in the dope smoking 70s because they had to seriously be smoking something to ratify this thing. I mean, take for instance Article 1, Section 22, which Article 1 is the Bill of Rights for the state of Illinois. Article 1, Section 22, and I will quote to you, subject to the police powers, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So, you know, there was a whole lot of dope smoking going on.
I think they smoked dope in the White House.
Oh, well, you know, wasn't it Gary Johnson that alluded to Thomas Jefferson smoking it on the veranda?
Yeah, that wasn't pot. That was tobacco. That's besides the point.
Yeah, but you know what? Come on. You don't think they didn't?
No, they didn't. They didn't. They didn't have. They didn't. They had hemp here. They didn't have cannabis. Cannabis came from Turkey.
Yeah, but
well, they had peyote.
Well, yeah. I got to tell you something. The Commonwealth of Virginia used to actually base our currency on tobacco, so I don't think that we would have allowed peyote to come in and compete with our currency.
Well, peyote isn't a crop. It goes out. You go out on the cactus and scrape it off and go to Never Never Land.
Go ahead, Randy.
If I may, something I need to just clarify that Robert was saying earlier. Now, there are some races, some states that will allow you to start collecting signatures for 2015.
Yeah.
However, state of Illinois, for instance, the only time you can collect those signatures, there's a 90-day window in 2014 in which you can collect that 25,000 signatures that's necessary. And there are several states that are similar, different time frames. Some are 6 months, but there are a few that have like a very, very short window to collect a very high number of signatures. And so you don't get to start until 2014.
Right. I was going to tell him that, but he was having fun and he was blowing his mic. And he was blowing his mic out, so I didn't want to interrupt him.
Hey, I got a question.
Hey, I'm multitasking here, Chris, but I heard that, man. No, I'm just over there.
Can I throw a question out to the panel? Just to try to get serious, because you guys are crazy. But let's try to get serious for a second. So now that
we get it from you, Rex.
Now that the Marxist, you learned it by watching me. Now that the Marxist in charge has been given another 4 years with which to dismantle the Constitution of the country, and everything that we told the GOP would happen because they're idiots with their rectums up the wrong end of their heads up the wrong end of their elementary canal. Will the conservative / libertarian / Republican voters now stop living in fear and actually start listening to the message of liberty?
Oh, you mean doing something besides wedding themselves and actually get involved and learn and maybe join the conversations that we have and learn when they the proper time to collect signatures and find some constitutional candidates to get in, you know, in our sheriffs and governors and state house and U.S. house. And, yeah, maybe. That'd be nice, wouldn't it, Randy?
Nice isn't the word.
I tell you, man, we need to put this database together so we know what we need to do, what I need to do in my state. You know, when can I collect signatures? You know, who my person is? You know, when I trip over somebody that doesn't have my past that could actually run for office? you know what I mean? That I have that I can say, here's the people we need to get a hold of. Here's how a campaign is run. Here's how we get signatures. Here's the dates. You know, here's what we need to do to win, you know. Because we got two years to get control of some states and the House and Senate. Because I knew Romney. I said this months ago, Romney's going to hurt our down ballot. You know.
I don't know about that, though.
Well, he did. I mean, we didn't do anything in the House and Senate. We just kind of, same thing.
The question, how many down ballot candidates were actually constitutionalists? they were Republicans, but how many were actually conservative?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying,
Alan West.
Right, no, I know, but I'm saying in the picture of the Republican Party that Romney, I said that Romney's going to hurt the Republican down ballot races. But I agree with what you're saying. We're just talking two different environments.
Yeah. I mean, look, the simple thing is that what the oligarchs that have controlled both parties, the plutocracy, oligarchy, whatever you want to call it, the corporatists, Goldman Sachs, okay, they infect both parties. This is exactly what they wanted. And they got it. And the fact is that what everybody has to understand is voting machine manipulation, voter fraud, blah, 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 blah. The bottom line is, America, you chose this. This is what you asked for, and they gave it to you. When are you going to stop voting for your own slavery? I mean, it's getting beyond pathetic. It's not even sad. It is just sheer insanity. You keep asking for more tyranny, and then you bitch and grumble about it and blame it on the
when
other
you get
party.
It.
Why do you keep asking for it? Just, you know, grow a pair and vote right.
Yeah,
and get
absolutely.
Involved. Get involved in your state.
Now,
understand
here's
how important your state is.
I'd be interested to know what the specific numbers are, but Arlene just posted out there that Donald Trump made a statement saying he lost the popular vote by a lot and won the election. So I'm really curious, did he really lose the popular vote?
Who?
Obama.
Romney or Obama? Oh, I don't know. I'll tell you in a second. What do you got, Robert? What page are you on?
Oh, let's see here.
Obama, I don't know. He's you know, a million eight, according to what I have so far, less. So it wasn't like he, you know.
So did Obama lose the popular vote?
Yeah, I just said that by a million.
Okay,
eight.
I didn't hear he lost. I just
Obama
heard
lost
eight.
The popular vote. Oh, let me see. Yes.
Well, you don't know that. They haven't counted all the states. They haven't. And then, look, they're delaying counting the votes in the Northeast because of Sandy. They haven't counted provisional ballots. You don't know who won or lost the popular vote. And, frankly,
right.
Who cares? We don't vote for president by popular vote. It's a stupid number to track. It's just another distraction. It's you know, let's focus on what's real. There's an electoral college for a reason. The passions of the people are easily swayed by personality, which is precisely why we have an electoral college, so that we don't give a man – because let's face it, ultimately, the principal job that you're electing somebody to is to command your armies in times of war. And since we're in a state of perpetual war, that's what you're voting for, so the popular vote is irrelevant. It's the electoral college in order to temper the passions of the people. You want a popular vote? Vote for your congressman. Vote for your local delegate. That's what a popular vote is for. You know, it's democracy at the local level. It's Republican, small r, at the federal level, as it should be. And what we need to do is restore that principle to the Senate. We should be working on that. But, you know, I got to say, I'm just glad that this is finally over. Now we can actually roll up our sleeves and get to work. And I'm hoping that all of you sheeple who made the mistake of throwing, you know, wasting your vote on Mitt Romney, because if you're going to come out and say, why'd you waste your vote on a third party, blah, 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 you know, you wasted your vote on another rhino loser once again. Stop wasting your votes and start voting for the Constitution.
And folks, we have another person on the line who would like to chime in. I've not seen this before on the call list, so just I have two rules. You be respectful to the guests and you be respectful to the audience. And if there's any signs that you cannot adhere to either one of those rules, I do have a nice little button here that will boot you from the show. I'm not presuming that you will do this, but I just want to put that disclaimer out there just in case you have any plans. And I see two calls such as that, but I will put in the one who has been on hold the longest. So if you just tell us your name, and out of my curiosity, where you're calling from and what's on your mind, go ahead. I've got Liberal 141. This could be interesting. Go ahead.
name
where you're from, and what's on your mind?
My name is Stanley. I'm calling all the way from New York.
On New York. How's things going after the storm up there? Because I know some folks in New York are still having some problems because of Sandy.
Yeah, still folks having some problems, still the electricity thing, I don't know how we're going to pay for that, for all the stuff that we need to do here. I hope that we find the money because it's going to cost a lot of money.
You're going to get that Obama money. He's going to pay
I think China's celebrating tonight, but I mean, they might have celebrated either way. But go ahead. You have the floor. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
No, I just wanted to say, like, I agree with what the caller said before. You should have, as Republican, you should have got a bigger, stronger leader than Romney. Romney was too much a flip-flop for me, was too much a person that says some things that go another way, doesn't answer the question that we ask him, doesn't do what he needs to do, and he doesn't have the leadership compared to our president. So that's why you lost. And I'm sorry to say, a lot of conservatives, you thought it was going to be a one and a landslide. A lot of conservatives thought it was going to be 300. It didn't happen. That must be something.
I didn't lose.
Well, so it sounds like you were an Obama supporter. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you didn't win either.
No, I'm very happy that he's still our president because I didn't trust Romney yet. Too much flip.
I don't trust Romney either. But reelecting Obama, you didn't win anything. If you say you identify yourself in your Skype as a liberal and you voted for Obama, I mean that's not a very liberal vote. Why didn't you vote for Jill Stein?
Because I voted for him. I like the direction that he's putting in our country. I think there's still an issue that we needed to resolve. That no president resolved it like healthcare.
What direction is that?
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. So when George Bush presented all these policies that Obama is doing now, did you vote for George Bush or were you against George Bush?
George Bush never put some policy in healthcare.
Yes, he did. He expanded the Medicare program in a similar way to Obamacare, cutting it and putting a prescription benefit in his Obamacare. There's no difference there. But other than that, I mean, drone strikes, NDAA, Patriot Act, more undeclared wars, more debt, more spending, more Federal Reserve, all that stuff that George Bush did, Obama just did more of it, but you like it.
No,
so how is that a liberal position?
Well, if you see the difference, well, Obama went to killed the person responsible for 9/11. Obama stopped the Iraq war. We should have never been in war, first of all. George
he
Bush
didn't
had
stop the Iraq war. We still have troops in Iraq. What are you talking about?
But George Bush had the perfect opportunity as a president to go get the person responsible for 9/11. Had nothing to do with Saddam Hussein. He didn't do what
I'm not defending George Bush. What I'm saying is with Obama, you got more of the same crappy policies we had with George Bush. You hated it when George Bush did it. You love it when Obama does it. Why didn't you vote for Jill Stein?
No, because George Bush was seeming very arrogant around the world. Obama doesn't.
Oh, and Obama's not arrogant. He's a very humble.
No, not around the world. If you do a poll around the world are very happy that Obama is the president.
No, actually, around the world, they think that Obama's an imperialist, just like
no,
George Bush. Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
I have a lot of friends around the world, and I've asked them. They think that Obama is as much of an imperialist as George Bush.
No, you're being fooled
by your Democratic Party to think that you just
won
a victory for liberalism, and you didn't have the guts to vote for a real liberal like Jill Stein. So don't tell me you're a liberal. You voted for Obama. You're not a liberal. Just as much as anybody who voted for Romney is not a conservative.
Why
be honest.
Why do you have such a hard time accepting that the rest of the world maybe don't see it the same way that you do?
I'm not saying they see it the same way I do. I'm saying they see Obama as an imperialist just like George Bush.
But you must have because I'm telling you the rest of the world do love Obama. You're saying George, they don't. They think that they're as arrogant as George Bush. First, you have to prove that. I don't agree with you. Second of all, you think that the rest of America, which is more than half the population voted for Obama. That tells you something.
Rex, let me ask this gentleman something.
Go ahead, Randy.
I forget your name there, Mr. Liberal. I don't mean that too derogatory, but I just where do you get your data at that Obama is so well loved around the world?
Because he's respectable around the world.
No. Don't tell me because. Tell me where you get your data.
Through the different speeches that he did around the world,
Well, that has nothing to do with the other world's perspective of Obama. That just has Obama's perspective of Obama. So, where are you getting your data that he's so well loved?
Because I have family around the world. Because everybody around the world looks at the election. I have family around the world. I have family in Canada.
Okay. Well,
I have family in Europe. I have family
around
in different places.
Here's something. I've been around the world.
Okay.
I've seen the actual opinions of the people around the world. So, you know, I mean, I've got firsthand personal data that says that that's not true.
Well, I have first-time personal data that said it is true. and by the way, you're not the only one who went around the world. You're not the only one who went around the world. I went to Europe. I went to Canada. I went to many places. You're not the only one around the world. So you have a hard time understanding that there's other people that don't see it the same way that you do.
Why do you say that? Well, I'm saying you have a hard time seeing things as they. No, I'm saying you have a hard time seeing things as they really are. Hold on a second. Hold on. Time out. I identify as a conservative, so I did not vote for Mitt Romney because he's not a conservative. You identify as a liberal, but you voted for Barack Obama, who is obviously not a liberal. You had Jill Stein, but you didn't have the guts to vote for a liberal. Either you're not really a liberal, or you're not aware that Obama is just the same as Mitt Romney. You didn't win anything tonight.
Not in my eyes. He's not the same thing as Mitt Romney at all.
Really? Tell me one position that Barack Obama is different than Mitt Romney on. Just one.
The health care difference.
Romney passed the bill in Massachusetts before Obama passed it. So they're identical. They're identical on health care. So try again. Give me one where they're different.
Go ahead.
Give me one where they're different. That one doesn't count because Romney built Obamacare first.
Abortion. At least our president knows what he's doing. He's saying he's not going to change Roe versus Wade. And Romney wanted to change that. That's number one. The 12 million jobs that suddenly out of nowhere.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Romney overturned Roe versus Wade.
He said it many times.
Look at his record. That's rhetoric, my friend.
Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to congratulate this liberal on voting for Mitt Romney today. Congratulations. Goldman Sachs won again. Wake up.
And at this time, Liberal 141, you are welcome to stay on the line.
No problem.
But I do have someone else who has been on hold. And so I will open up their mic. And, of course, I know the folks who are on here on a regular basis know this. And they will give respect for the other person to come in, to chime in. And if you'd start off with, just give us your name and where you're calling from and then what's on your mind. All I see here is 111, but if you don't abide by, you know, these few very simple rules, I do have a little button where I can go click and you won't be heard, unfortunately. But here you go. 111, your mic is live. Go ahead. I hear silence.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, I'm just listening in. I can't believe it. Did you just say Obama won?
Obama has won. He is now being reelected.
Oh, gosh.
What's your thoughts on that? What's your feelings on that? It's an organic show. Go ahead. Tell us what you truly think you feel about that.
I have nothing to say. I don't even want to. There's nothing to say.
Do you feel negative or positive about a reelection of Barack Obama?
Well, they're both the same, but no, I just am shocked. I mean,
why are you so? Go ahead, Rush.
I was going to say, if you want to feel.
I really don't.
Here, you just said they're both the same. So here's a way to look at it to make yourself feel a little bit better, because I know that the emotions are difficult to deal with. But think of it this way. If Romney had won, we'd be stuck with him as the nominee in the Republican Party in 2016. Now we actually have two open primaries in 2016. So that's actually a good step towards competition in the marketplace of politics. So, you know, that's one positive way of looking at a quote Obama victory, even though it doesn't make a difference.
I have a very bad connection.
We hear you good. I hear you really good. Go ahead.
Well, there isn't much I could say. I mean, I knew one of the other was going to win, but it's just
You felt pretty much that Obama is going to be defeated tonight. Am I wrong on that?
I thought, well, yeah, because I was watching it with a friend on. She had a cell phone, and her and her husband, and we were looking, and it wasn't that long ago. I think Mitt Romney was ahead, and then like it just switched. Like just now, I was surfing the radio channels, and what Obama.
You sound like you're almost flabbergasted, and I'm not saying that in a negative way.
Yeah, I was just listening. I really don't want to talk about it. I mean,
That's fine. No, I'll keep your mic open just
in
case you'd like to.
But I mean,
do you mind if I ask who you wrote in?
Well, yeah, I don't want to say, but
no, understood. That's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do is I will keep your mic open just in case if you'd like to chime in on anything that you'll hear later on. But I do notice that it is 15 minutes before the live portion of Bard's Logic Political Talk is going to continue. However, if you like to stay on in the recorded session, which will be archived, of course, you are more than welcome to do so. But in order to do so within the next 15 minutes, you will need to call area code 347-945-7428. And at this time, we do have another caller who would like to chime in, and it's 410. I'm going to open up your mic. Tell us who you are, and out of my curiosity, as I tell all the new folks where you're from, and tell us what's on your mind, and that would be great. 410,
hey.
Your mic is on.
I'm Chris from Maryland. Most people know me as Sandman73 on Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight?
Well, you know, I'm hanging in there.
I tell you what, I've lost a lot of hope and faith in America tonight. I'm more disgusted by the people who voted for him the first time and saw what Obama did and took us down the wrong path and then voted for him a second time. For what God knows what reason, I'm losing a little sympathy and a little patience for all these people. I've had my businesses. I'm tired of busting my butt for these people. I'm tired of the lazy, ignorant people who don't look up and understand what's going on. And honestly, you know, being born and being a child of the 80s, I never thought I'd see this coming. I never thought I'd see this happen. But honestly, I'm extremely ashamed of my country today. And I'm just overblown by what happened tonight.
Well, I must say this, and I must admit this, is on this show, and you know, before I started Bard's Logic Political Talk, and you know, I've called into other blog talk radio shows. One of the things I would say, while I guess in a way up on a soapbox, would be there has not been a moderate to liberal Republican who has won in the general election in 40 years. And for the RNC to do all the chicanery, all the lies, all the, you know, all what they do, buying, you know, bribing, you know, what I would call bribing, to get Romney coronated to be the nominee for the Republican Party, is that there has not, there has not been a, and let's not fool ourselves, Romney is a moderate, at best, has not won in the general election in 40 years. So then to prop up something like that, I really think the Republican Party thought that this was their time, this was their moment to finally marginalize the conservatives in the party to the point where they can come back and say, look, we don't need you to win elections anymore. We don't need you to win, you know, especially when it comes to the president, because we're going to get Mitt Romney in there without the conservative support. I don't think it didn't work. Go ahead.
Well, the only good thing about that is, you know, I'm a conservative. I'm registered Republican, so I can vote in the primary, but I don't like the RNC. And I do think
amen.
This loss, the RNC is pretty much done. No Then why trust him in the first place? This whole election had little to do with the RNC and everything to do with Obama. My only problem is all these people keep voting for Obama. I mean, the RNC is just a little bit right of the Democrats anyway. But, you know, I just wanted a fighting chance. And I just figured with Romney in there, I would continue fighting. Now with Obama, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, 4 more years, the regulations he's going to put in the first of the year.
Those won't be any different than the ones Obama's going to put in, Romney would have put in. There's no difference there. Actually, the advantage here is now you can actually tell the Republicans that they screwed up, and if they don't actually act like conservatives, they'll never win again. If they want to be relevant, they're going to have to shape up. This proves it.
Well, I just hope we have the voice to have it. I don't, you know, I know Obama, I know his past, I know what he's capable of. I don't think he's the man pulling all the strings. I just, you know, for 4 years, we've been through hell. Four more years.
No. Whoa, wait. I got to correct you.
Well, it was
2 years.
2 years. Bush started it.
No. 2 years they had control. For 2 years, we've had total control of the House, just like Newt Gingrich did in the 90s with Clinton. The House, under Republicans, have done nothing to stop Obama. In fact, they funded him. They funded his debt ceiling, and they funded Obamacare, and they voted for NDAA.
Oh, I agree with all that.
And I have no faith in
our Supreme Court,
in
John Roberts, either. I mean, I don't.
But we need to change us. I know, but us as Republicans need to change our rhetoric. It has not been 4 years of Obama. It's been 2 years of Obama and 2 years of Obama and Boehner. And that's the dialogue that we need to get across to people.
Well, that's why I said about
growing
up in the 80s.
For a year.
We had Reagan was good, and then in the mid 90s, we had a Republican Congress come in and do good things. Other than that, that's it. We've been outcasted all the time.
Well, that's because Republicans constantly abuse the principles they claim they espouse by. That's the problem.
Well, isn't that the problem? I mean, that's the people's thinking. Most people really don't want to give freedom to people. They want to control people. I don't think there's a whole lot different
from
either party.
Yeah, but Republicans claim or believe that we are the party of God, country, the Bill of Rights, you know, the rule of law. They think that's our party. The mistake is they believe these people, against all evidence, that these people are actually what they're voting for. You know, how many Republicans voted for NDAA? How many Republicans voted for the debt ceiling? The Tea Party came in 2010, and the Republicans in power stomped the shit out of them, you know, and disempowered them. That is what we have to change. We as conservatives, as constitutionalists, have got to change the dialogue. And that's one thing. Every time I ever had anything posted on my groups, and they would post the news of the day, Obama did this, Obama did that, I would always respond every time, and what did the Republicans do to stop it? Because that's what people need to start. They need to get honest with themselves. Republicans are greater traitors to their platforms than the Democrats are, because Democrats are doing exactly what they tell their people they're going to do. And we are the ones that abuse our party leaders. They get voted in on a lie, and then they abuse that trust. That's the dialogue we need to run with.
I'm not so sure Republicans are our party, not as conservatives. True conservatives want something totally different from our party heads.
Party.
Let me interject, gentlemen. Speaking of that, I'd like to give the floor, if you'd like, to Randy, and then after that to Rex, and then we'll move on from there. Go ahead, Randy.
Well, actually, I've had one ear tuned to there in my eye. I've got about six chat windows on
multitasking.
People want me to talk with them, and but you know, I think you know one of the comments that I made. You know, somebody said I voted my conscience tonight, and I can go to bed, you know, with a clear conscience and know I voted correctly. I said, yeah, me too. It's just I'm going to go to bed with an aching heart tonight because, you know, we've still got – nothing has changed. Absolutely nothing has changed. All the fear-mongering that we had to put up with for the last several months has all been for naught. All the fear-mongering has done is just, you know, cause a great chasm, but it was not filled by anything. And so, you know, my heart aches tonight. And, you know, there's a part of me with the percentages that were received by Cynthia Davis at 2 to 3%, Bernie DeCastro at only 26%, against a guy whose name wasn't even on the ballot. You know, my heart is torn right now because I wonder if there really is any hope. I mean, I'm you know, I'm compelled to this. Believe me, there's moments that I wish I could just, you know what, I'm just done with this country because we've got such a bunch of bozo, bonehead, sleeping. I'm just going to quit there before I go down a road I don't want to go. But anyway.
Wait, isn't that how most of us feel, though?
Come over to the dark side, Randy.
Yeah. It ain't happening. I'm still
feel the dark side of the force.
Feel your anger growing. Strike him down.
What are you doing in Illinois? I'm like, man, this is a Marine's paradise. I'm surrounded, and no matter which way I aim, I'm going to hit the enemy. So, you know, I'm in a Marine's paradise. But there are some times I wish I could see some victory. And you know, I'm going to be working for the next 2 to 4 years for those victories.
Well,
this is a very important.
Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to Rex, go ahead, because I haven't heard from you for a bit.
Okay.
And then our guest here on, I believe it's 410, and then go ahead, Chris, and if Liberal 141, you'd like to chime in after that, go ahead.
Well, I have to tell you that I am actually very excited. I'm excited because Goldman Sachs incumbent won, which means that Goldman Sachs challenger didn't win, which means that it is the perfect time to take the emotionally distraught, confused, temperament, children, duopoly matrix dwellers and tell them, hey, you know what happened yesterday? We lost and Obama won. Relax. Nothing changes. It would have been the same if your guy had won, but now you can actually think about what happened. You voted for the wrong principles. You just voted for the jersey. Can I tell you a little bit about how our Constitution works, how our electoral process works, and maybe you can help me fix it so this doesn't happen again in 2014 and 2016.
That's right.
This is the time to talk to them because now they feel like they got kicked in the pants. They were so in the tank for Romney that they couldn't think. They were emotionally so fearful of Obama that they would just reach out to anybody to save them. Well, the French people were like that after the revolution of 1789. They got Napoleon. The Austrians were like that in the 30s, and they got Hitler. You know, so this is the perfect time to take that emotional distress that conservatives and Republican voters feel and show them that there is another way. And if they work their asses off now, 2014 and 2016 can be the rise of liberty like we've never seen in this country. That's
yep.
what you have to do. Take advantage of their fear, because right now they're so afraid that, you know, what are they? You think they're going to go running and suck on Prince Pubic's nipple or John Sununu or John Boehner? These are the guys that screwed it up. Point them out. Call them out. Call out Pubis. Call out Boehner. Call out Rove. Call them out for screwing it up. And tell the Republicans, or at least the conservatives, hey, get rid of these guys. They're terrible. And if you can't dislodge them, hey, come out here to freedom.
This loss. Sorry.
I'm done. Go ahead, Chris. I'm done.
No, I didn't mean to. My son said something, and I didn't have you on mute when I responded to him.
Well, real quick, Chris. before you chime in, because there's less than 2 minutes left, is that if anyone is in the chat and they would like to stay on to the conversation, at least either in a listening in capacity or in a capacity such as chiming in, call in at area code 347-945-7428, because the live part of Bard's Logic Political Talk is about to expire. And also, if you miss it, though, you can still get it on the archives, which, of course, I invite you to listen to that as well. So once again, if you'd like to listen in or chime in the recorded part, because life will be going off in about a minute live, is area code 347-945-7428. Go ahead.
I totally agree with what Rex said, and that's probably why I don't have any, you know, I understand Radney's frustration because he's worked hard in his party to get some wins, and he has some great people that should have won. But I also believe that the, you know, the dynamics, the fear dynamics in the voting cycle just had people voting right down the ticket, you know. But I totally agree with Rex, and we talked about this, all of us have, in, you know, in our 9,000 shows that we've done, that the only way that this country is going to turn around and the only way to stop the liberal takeover of the total liberal takeover of the Republican Party is a Romney loss. And we've all talked about this, you know, that if he loses, then conservatives, Christians, third parties, that now that we have this third party dialogue going, you know, that we have a chance, constitutionalists, we now have the voice, you know, for and the solution, because what they did was wrong. The crime, Romney got nothing more than he deserved. You know, Obama, I will make no justifications for the Democrats or the liberals or the socialists or the communists. I've already researched Obama up one side and down the other. I know how he won the election. I know, you know, Romney learned all of the tactics that Romney did to our primary. They learned from the Obama Chicago machine. I mean, I've seen the documentaries. I've seen the reports. You know, he turned around, they absorbed those techniques, they did it. He got what he deserved because Obama's better at it. And also because he didn't have the heart and soul of the core of the base of the people. And so here we are, you know, the end result. I mean, I literally have no emotional content about this at all. I look at it and I go, now is the time to act. Because I love Constitution Party. I love the Constitution. I love what our founding fathers put this country together for. And it's time to move forward. We need to educate people. We're not going to have, I really believe, it's not about a party discussion. It's about the Constitution. That conversation, you know, helping people understand what made this country great, what makes it great, because these politicians are all thieves, crooks, and liars. And we are where we're at because as an uneducated people, we have allowed them to abuse the Constitution. That Constitution was designed to limit, to prevent what we are living right now in this country. Now, if we can make it 4 years, you know, and not crash, not become part of the New World Order, I'd be surprised. But, you know, I believe that we're in the right place. You know,
bring
we're in
it.
The right
bring
place.
Bring the crash.
I'd rather... Yeah, well, you know me. I'd rather have a war anyway.
Yeah, bring the crash,
right,
Aaron,
Randy?
You voted for the crash. Bring the crash, and then maybe they'll realize that we got to
get it over with.
It's going to happen one way or another. The only thing is, are you going to panic or are you going to restore liberty? You know, it's just a real simple thing. I would just tell everybody two things. One, Ron Paul told you so.
Yep.
He told you this would happen. He predicted it.
Yep.
He told you how to fix it. So my suggestion to everybody, whether you know, look, guess what? Ron Paul is no longer running for any office. He's no longer a political threat. He's no longer taking votes away from anybody. So put down your animosity to Dr. Paul and read his stuff, watch his videos, listen to Ron Paul. The other thing I would recommend everybody do tomorrow, pick up your Constitution and actually read it. And you will be much better off for the next 2 years as we work to stop Barack Obama and the RNC and GOP establishment in Congress. Victory is ours for the taking. We have all the power. We didn't exercise it today. We caved. So maybe we can actually, you know, it's a big principle that you succeed not because you never fall down. You succeed because every time you fall down, you get back up. So get up. Get up and be free.
And then kick some ass.
Amen.
Well, that goes without saying.
And there you go. And we do have another caller here online who came in just at the very end. Now, 602, I'll open up your mic if you just want to listen. Just let us know. But if you'd like to chime in, go ahead and just tell us your name, where you're hailing from, and what's on your mind. So 602, you here to chime in or just to listen?
I'm listening or chiming in, you know, I just can't believe it. And still some counties are counting the votes.
Right, but to my understanding, I mean, he's got enough electoral college votes to win. So even if Romney won the rest of what's left out there, then Obama would still win it. I mean, I could be wrong on this going on what they called it.
Arizona said that Romney got the popular vote.
Well, who cares?
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't
mean
anything.
Arizona went to Romney anyway.
Yes.
What's Arizona got to do with it?
I'm just saying.
Ohio, Virginia, and Florida are going to be contested because they're neck and neck.
Eh, whatever.
You know what I mean? But it's still in enough. You know, Obama's almost at 300.
I guess this proves that if you can't buy as many vote counting machines as the other guy, you can't win.
Yeah, no.
Hey, obviously, the Democrats are still better at committing fraud than the Republicans.
Shut the cabinet.
I'm still actually, I have to admit, I'm a little bit shocked. I mean, not really, but I mean, because I've been saying that it's just going to be more of the same for the next four years. But, I mean, you've got...
Well, if we have Boehner in there, it'll be more of the same. If we get rid of Boehner, we can actually get some stuff done. Newt could. Newt did. With the most liberal president we had had in our lifetime, they got stuff done.
Let's see what Newt does now. Let's see what Newt does now. Because guess what, Newt can go back to the RNC and say, "Look at what you did. You had the worst president in history enter the election cycle with an approval rating lower than Jimmy Carter, and you couldn't beat him with your stupidity. Maybe you should start listening to me now."
Yeah,
that's a very good point, Rex. That's a very good point. And, you know, and that's something that, you know, and I'm not normally a I told you so kind of guy.
Oh, you'll get better at it.
I'll get better at it. Just hang out with you more, Chris, and I'm just joking, buddy.
Practice makes perfect,
Robert. But, I mean, this is something that on the Tex and Rex show, on the Bart's Logic political talk shows, we've been saying this for months. We've been saying this during the primaries where we were saying, hey, look for constitutional conservatives. When we were pushing for Newt Gingrich, and we've seen what happened there. And then the realization hit us, at least for me. I can't talk for other people, but at least for me, where the realization hit me that if I'm going to look for constitutional conservatives, I'm not going to find it within the Republican Party. I thought perhaps through Newt Gingrich, I could find constitutional conservatism through the Republican Party. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think it's going to be through other parties, such as the Constitution Party, you know, and some would think that would be through the Libertarian Party. But you're not going to find it there anymore, when I mean in the Republican Party. And Rex, you bring up Newt Gingrich. It will be interesting to see where Newt Gingrich is going to go from here. Now, he's a party loyalist. I don't really, to be honest, I don't really see Newt Gingrich leaving the Republican Party. However, I would think that if he was to really stick with the constitutional conservative ideals, that unfortunately for him, he's got a big choice to make. Stay loyal to the Republican Party, as many of us have faced that choice, maybe not in the same breath as he's had to because he's actually in the party, you know. But is he going to ever make a decision in which, if I'm going to stick to my constitutional conservative ideals, am I going to stick to a party that doesn't seem that they're going to adhere to it? Or am I going to get to a party, for example, such as the Constitution Party, that will espouse those ideas or do espouse those ideas? And that's where I'm going to move forward with. That's a decision, in my opinion, I can't speak for the man or think for the man, that I think he's going to have to make in the future on where he's going to stand, because I don't see it, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, in the Republican Party.
Hey, there's something I got here. I was kind of waiting for a good time. But in one of the chats, there's a gentleman from the Constitution Party in Missouri, and he had this to say, and I thought this was really interesting. He said, by the way, I process absentee ballots in my county, and I noticed that most of those who voted for the Constitution Party in some races voted Democrat in others. These are rural conservative Democrats. I think the CP needs to change their literature and ads to focus on those rural conservative Democrats. And so, you know, and this is
somewhat. I knew you people were going to cost Obama the election. Oh, wait.
Well, you know, one of the tendencies that we have is we do have, you know, it's not predominantly Democrats who come to the Constitution Party. You know, most of the people that I know of consider themselves to be Republican refugees. You know, so consequently, I would say almost 9 times out of 10, when somebody starts, you know, doing the bashing, so to speak, they will, you know, bash Democrats. Well, you know, the Democrats do this and the Democrats do that. I'm like, oh, and every time I will correct them, I'm like, hold on, hold the phone. You know, it's not just the Democrats out there. I realize you were a Republican, but guess what? You're here because of the garbage the Republicans are doing. So, you know, don't go out there just simply bashing the Democrats. You know, I consider myself an equal opportunity basher. I'll bash them all, you know. And I think that's the point, is to demonstrate where the problems lie in the system. It's not just one party or the other. Both of them are culpable for the problems. And guess what? There are some people who are Democrats who are sick and tired of what the Democrat Party's doing to them, as well as you guys who come out of the Republican Party are sick and tired of what the Republicans have been doing.
Yep.
Well, hey, I wonder how they voted on call up.
I don't know. In fact, I asked the guy. I would love to actually have hardcore data on this. I mean, this would be awesome to be able to put out there and demonstrate. Look, both the Republicans and the Democrats are getting sick of their parties.
Yeah, I'd like to see, you know, what percentages, or at least, you know, vote counts in each state that the other third parties, you know, like in California, for instance, how many votes Jill Stein or Rocky Anderson might have gotten, or places such as Ohio, where Virgil Good and Johnson. And one thing I found interesting tonight, and I don't know if other – I'm sure you others caught this, is in the beginning portion of the results coming back tonight, they were reporting how many votes, at least with the absentee ballots, what I've seen here in Ohio, that Virgil Good, Stein, you know, the third party, Gary Johnson, were getting. But as the night ran on, I stopped seeing the results from the, you know, what the other parties other than, you know, the Republican Democrat Party were bringing in. Has anyone else seen that?
Apparently not.
Well, on the...
Go ahead, whoever wants to chime in. Ladies first, I heard her chime in, so go ahead. You first, and then Chris, and then... And then Rex, and then whoever, if they want, you know, Randy, if you want, like to chime in.
I saw it here in Arizona, and Arizona map has the third party numbers on their map.
Now, was that all the way through, or was that just at the beginning part of the returns?
At the beginning, but some on different channels mentioned the third party, like Johnson, and a lot of libertarians got some votes here, but not all. So, you know, like 6% of the vote here for libertarian, but that's basically it. Nothing else was said.
What about you, Chris? I know you mentioned on a few points on seeing that and that it faded. Go ahead.
What's going to happen is like on the map I'm on right now, it shows a percentage for others, but that's never going to be totally accurate. Like in the state of Washington, we've got until, I don't know, it's like another 10 days before they have to have all their total counts actually done. So there's going to be a little bit of a delay before we get real numbers. But I guarantee you that these third parties are going to want those figures, so they're going to be fighting to get them because it's that validating number. So I don't think you're going to get anything real accurate right now.
Well, I was actually talking to Virgil Good today, and he said that perhaps he will come back onto Bard's Logic in a couple of weeks to go over those numbers once they start coming in. And of course, that would be, you know, that would be great if he's able to come on. But I did speak with him today on the possibility of coming in with those numbers, and we can start talking about what a strategy moving forward would be, especially, of course, with the focus being on 2014.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what all the down ballot numbers will be across the board, how the Libertarian Party has done, and down ballot races and things like that.
I just got a tweet from Ben Swan. He says only 80% of Ohio precincts are reporting, and Obama and Romney are only separated by 2,000 votes.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Wow.
That's what I said earlier.
They called
Ohio
for Obama. They called Ohio for Obama.
Well, I don't see how they can technically do that if
Ohio,
this information is accurate.
Virginia is only about 22,000 votes, even though 94% are reporting. You know they're going to have a stink over that.
I just want to put out a disclaimer. I am not one of those 22,000 votes.
Okay, one of the I'm looking at CNN right now, and it has 49% Obama and Romney. They're still giving it to Obama. But Obama is about 12,000. According to this, it's 12,000 between the two, according to CNN, to what I've seen. So it looks like they haven't called. Have they not called Florida? Well, Florida's 48,000 approximately. 48,000 votes apart. But it says Obama's got 281 electoral college to Romney's 81, and I'm looking at the map they have here, and they have Obama with Ohio. But of course, even if Obama did not have Ohio, even if you took Ohio away from Romney and Ohio away from Obama and gave it to Romney, it looks like Obama would still have 200, you know, over the, well, now maybe he wouldn't have over 281 if they were to take Ohio away from him. So it'll be interesting. Would that be something that there'd have to be a retraction?
I bet you there will be, because turn to Fox News and check their numbers. Because each channel is so different.
Oh, my eyes are burning.
I don't know if I can force myself to watch Fox News, but
just to see the damn numbers.
You know, but I mean, if Ohio is that close, and they're given Ohio, and Ohio is, I believe, 16 electoral college, then if they were to take 16 electoral college away from Obama, that would actually bring him to 265. So he would not yet have to the amount to win the election.
Right. And on ABC 15 here in Arizona, they're saying that they're pretty close. 203 for Romney and 200 and what?
I don't know.
200 and something.
It's burning my eyes.
For Obama.
So CNN has called it for Obama. But
right.
Are you saying that there's other news organizations that have not called it yet? This could be a Florida moment, folks.
Arizona called it because CNN called it, you know, and saying
Obama's the presumptive winner, whatever, you know.
I got a really big question. They're all playing that recount in Florida again this time. From what I looked at, there was a 40,000 vote difference. Why do you got to recount it?
Yep. Well, Virginia's tighter. Well,
right.
Virginia's 22,000.
Right, and that's what they were saying on this.
Is it going to be 23,000 locked in a truck somewhere?
Oh, I can't believe I have Fox News on right now. I think I might have to throw up.
You're going to catch a rhinovirus.
Ohio, you got to listen, not look at it. Just shut your eyes.
You're going to catch a rhinovirus anyway. It'll go in your ear.
Rhinovirus. Well, I have it on mute, so.
It's an opportunistic virus.
I'm on mute. Ohio just re-ran their numbers, you know, just updated, and Obama's up like 11,000 now.
Oh. Well, that's – well, I was almost excited that the other guy would kill us instead of Obama.
He's at 11,000 with 88% reporting, so above Romney.
Well, 12% in Ohio, that's still – Well, of course, it depends on what counties have come in. But.
Yeah, those numbers just jumped big time. 22,000 above in Virginia and 40-some, let me get to Florida, 44,000 in Florida. So with 88%, you know, I don't know if they can make a stiff over 11,000-plus vote difference. Can they? Where do they usually make their stiffs at? Where do they get bitchy?
That's a good question. I wish I could answer that.
Well, you should. You run a show.
Yeah, well, here's another thing. Now, here's another thing. CNN. It's a standby for CNN projection. It's Colorado. It says Obama won Colorado. Well, with 9 electoral college votes. Although I know that was another one of the swing states.
Not that many people vote in Colorado. Less than 2 million.
That's true. Yeah. Actually, it was less than 2 million. Yeah. It says Obama in Colorado is about 66,000 ahead. But we're still giving Obama. Yeah, they got Obama at 290 now.
Well, yeah, listen, I've had 290 for a long time. He just jumped to 30,000 in Virginia.
I looked at Montana, and they haven't even did voting, and they called it. I mean, you know, putting out the numbers for Montana.
It's almost like somebody knew the outcome before a vote was cast. Weird.
What's that, Rex?
It's almost like somebody knew the outcome before the votes were cast. It's weird.
Yes, they did.
Do you think they have electronic machines?
Need a can of Raid.
I saw the results, I think it was in Arizona, like on October 19th while I was watching the People's Court. So I don't know why y'all are surprised.
CNN's not even reporting.
They're saying now on CNN, even if Romney was to take Ohio, Virginia, Florida, and Alaska, then he would still lose 272 to 264.
No, there you have it.
It's a done deal.
Goldman Sachs won.
And there you go. Even being from Ohio, I could, you know, I'm not uncomfortable saying this, but even Ohio going towards Romney, Obama would still win. So Ohio may not have been as important as everyone thought it was. Even if Romney won Ohio, he'd still lose.
Karl Rove and his little whiteboard isn't as smart as he thinks he is.
Oh, he never was.
Let's hope he goes down in the doghouse now. That's what a lot of people are talking about right now.
He won't go down.
Rove will be out of a job.
Oh, no. Goldman Sachs is going to give him a pretty hefty payoff for costing the Republican Party the election.
Didn't he do that one other time, too?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, he almost got away with it in 2000.
Right.
You know, Karl Rove's history, he was there when Reagan had the opportunity to win on the floor,
Uh-huh.
And when Ford lost to Carter, Karl Rove was one of them little young guys just getting in politics, running between the delegates, talking them into voting for Ford. He's got a lot of history with moderates.
No, you know, that's not really true. They're not moderates. Sellouts are not moderates.
Well, you know what
they're,
I mean.
They're extreme morons. They're extremists. But I think... Look,
Rockefellers.
Yeah, this is, I think, what we really need to focus on, this media-controlled narrative that, like, you know, well, 29% are Republicans and 29% are Democrats, so it's these 53% moderates that are going to decide the election. Give me a break. Moderates don't decide elections. Moderates are basically wishy-washy people that have no principles. This country is a conservative. Don't give me this crap about it. It's a center-right, okay? We're a conservative nation overwhelmingly. It's just that we're so manipulated that it doesn't seem that way. And I think it's time to wake people up and realize that, look, it's a conservative country. When I say conservative, I'm including fiscal conservatives and social conservatives, because some of us, for some reason, don't fall into both of those, and we're one or the other. But overwhelmingly, we're conservative, so let's start acting that way.
Well, constitutionalist.
Yes.
Constitutionalist.
What constitution?
Hmm?
There's a constitution.
Well, Randy, okay, go ahead, Randy. We haven't heard from you for a bit.
Yeah, I had to go. I've been sitting at my computer and looking at the numbers and listening to you guys and participating here and there and chatting with folks. I had to go
sure.
for a few minutes.
Understood. Yeah. Understood.
Anyway,
smoke
you
a
know,
joint, Randy. You'll feel better.
Yeah. You
wow.
Know,
okay, I can't strike that from the archives, Chris. So thank you very much, man. I got to erase the entire show. You know, I can't have the election covered on just because you mentioned something about starting to join. Thanks a lot, man. No, seriously, go ahead, Randy.
Well, you know, I will tell you the God's honest truth. I have not smoked a joint since 1981 when the Marine Corps first started the urinalysis test. The day they did that was the day I did not do another thing and have not. And I've been sober for many years now. But anyway.
So we're doing true confessions now.
I've never smoked a joint, so I'm trying to feel like I'm out of, you know, I'm out of the
Robert,
the,
you
the
need
claim.
To.
I
have never done it. No, I've never done a joint. Sorry.
Well, my name is Rex, and I've actually voted for Republicans before. But I
oh my God! Can we forgive him for that, guy? No.
Oh, man. Well, you know,
we'd all be altruists. I know I would be.
Gary Johnson made that comment in the third party debate. Yeah, well, I smoked a joint and you know, all that stuff. But anyway, it's going to be very interesting this coming next 2 years. We've been so concentrating on this presidential election, our municipal races that are going this coming year and school board races, I think, are going to swing past us so fast that we're not going to be able to really invest much in them at all. But be that as it may, looking towards the 2014, I mean, I've already got a guy who was a very staunch Republican and very much involved in the political arena here in Illinois, who has already volunteered to be my campaign manager should I fully decide to run for the U.S. Senate in 2014. Because of what I learned through the process of when I ran for governor as a write-in and in 2006, and then as a U.S. senatorial candidate in 2010, when the Republicans spent probably $250,000 to keep me off the ballot, knowing what I know now, I am telling you, decide to run for the U.S. Senate in 2014. If I make that an absolute solid, and there's nothing the Republican Party can do to take me off the ballot short of assassinating me, and then they got to go through God to get to me, so I ain't afraid.
Well, hey, Randy, I don't know if it's just me, but it
you're
sounds
distorted.
Like you're losing some power on your headset or mic or something of that nature.
Or your mic is too close to your mouth.
Is this any
but
better?
We did get it.
Oh, yeah.
We had to
listen. There we go.
We had to listen very, very carefully, so we got it.
I accidentally moved some things and hit a button that turned up the volume. So if that's better now.
That's much better now. Good.
I can hear you.
Should we say
you,
Randy?
Sorry about
that. You know what, Randy? We'll promote the hell out of you if you run because we like you.
Well,
his guns blazing.
You know, this guy has already, he joined the state party. He's already paid his registration fee to the national committee meeting in St. Louis at the end of this month. And so, I mean, we're already getting people moving towards the goal of 2014. I got a guy that's already said, hey, my wife gave me permission. I can run for state rep in 2014. And, you know, and I'm using the beyond the election as, you know, the springboard for that. Now, certainly, one thing I don't know that I've fully made a commitment towards one way or the other or made a decision towards, but beyond the election, you know, whether, you know, I really want to focus on Constitution Party, you know, I want to open it up for every
strangling the cat.
Let me get your opinions on that.
Well,
whether
first,
you should run?
No, no, no.
You should run?
On the Facebook page that's beyond the election, you know, I know I want to concentrate a little bit at least for the Constitution Party, but should I focus that group more on the Constitution Party or should it be open and focus it on anybody who wants to run?
Well, you know what I'm doing. I mean, mine's an open group. You know, if they care about liberty and the Constitution, they're my friend. You know, just don't beat up on somebody who doesn't have your exact perfect frickin' moral issues, you know.
Well, I'll put my 2 cents worth briefly, and then, of course,
it's about what the dollar's worth to now.
Well, it gets wrecked. I mean, I think that at this point in time, that instead of it being general, I really think that it should be, in my opinion, of course, or ought to be, I should say, in my opinion, is more geared towards the Constitution Party because, be that, you know, I mean, the American people, and I'm not trying to disparage them in any way, are really pay attention to labels. And I think that to just have something spoken in, you know, or in generalities, and not giving, you know, like candidates or something of that nature, or in this point, a page, a title to it, like, you know, Constitution Party, I think that they're not as much apt to, frankly, at least in my opinion, someone correct me if I'm wrong, pay attention to it. I think they're really hooked. I mean, that's why so many people who vote Democrat or vote Republican, it's not really what the party or what each individual stands for. It's that, A, either they're a Republican, or B, they're a Democrat. That's what they look at. Okay, oh, well, I mean, perfect example. When you go to the polls, you have folks coming out there. They're even handing you a literature with a, you know, a ballot, straight down the line ballot, Republican, or straight down the line Republican. I mean, that's what people do. There's so many people who say or do just vote straight down party lines, both Democrat and Republican, that I think that concentrating on an actual party instead of, you know, just general candidates would probably behoove you more so, in my opinion. So,
I really appreciate that perspective. You know, it should be obvious that I've got a pretty strong bias towards the Constitution Party, but at the same time, I certainly recognize the absolute value and importance of building bridges with fellow conservatives across the spectrum, across these United States of America.
Are you calling for a liberty stimulus package and shovel-ready voting?
Spoon-ready projects. I kind of like that. Spoon-ready. I like that. That's one thing, I guess, Gary Johnson said the other night. He talked about spoon-ready projects. I thought we're kind of kind of funny.
Here's the thing, Randy, and if I can throw in my 2 bits worth, is that you have a Constitution Party Facebook, correct or incorrect?
Well, yeah, we've got the official Facebook group, and we've got the official Facebook fan page as well. So, and right now I also have a group that's called Constitution Party Candidates, which I am thinking about closing that down and saying, look, from this point here on, we're going to work out of the Beyond the Election group.
Right. Yeah, because you can only do so many groups, trust me. Right. You've got to work on them. You have to invest into them. You have to answer people's messages. You know, you have to be involved. Now, here's the thing. I have a central purpose to build coalitions of people across all boundaries. That's my goal. You have a split goal because I know your personality. One is you know, split personality. But one is that you're building for your party. The second one is, because I know you and I've learned from you, is that you want relationships with all constitutionally minded people. So you have to define those two things. Can I merge that and still be effective for my party, or do I need to separate these two things out? And that's where it's at. Because you know, I've said this all along. You know, I've made sure everybody knows whether that they have a constitutional party and libertarian party candidates down ballots X amount in this state, in this state, in this state. Now you got to go and find out who you can vote for. You know, I've been a promoter of all down ballot candidates in both of those parties because we don't have all libertarians or all constitutional parties across the board. So we need that coalition between the two if we want to defeat the duopoly. So, and I know that's probably going through your mind in this process.
No, you know what? I think you've really kind of resolved the question for me because, you know, in reality, you know, you're providing what I have been kind of talking about here a little bit. And, you know, my goal, especially as the national vice chairman of the Constitution Party, you know, that frees me up to solely focus on, you know, really building the party and getting the stuff out here that we need to get to effectively do that.
Well, you don't risk anything.
Let me interject this real quick, Chris, because I was just, you know, flipping through channels, and I just want to add this real quick. It kind of had, at least for me, an epiphany. Is, no, not quite an epiphany. That's kind of strong words. But, you know, I've seen they were talking about, Obama, you know, in this other state winning, and all these people are flying, you know, waving an American flag, one of those many American flags. And it made me think that, you know, for the folks who voted for Obama, what would be, in my opinion, more appropriate would be for them to be flying flags with the United Nations, the flag of the United Nations on there. Because that's what Obama really stands for, is for, you know, other countries, not the United States. I believe he'd rather be the, you know, president of the world than the president of the United States. Now, however, on the flip side, if it was, you know, Romney who would have won, instead of people flying American flags, there would have been some kind of, like, sign for, like, corporations, you know, or flag for corporations that they're flying around. And that's what I said, like, DTS, like, oh, you know, United States. Obama's not from the United States, and, of course, Romney's not either. Obama's, in my opinion, for, you know, like a world conglomerate where, you know, all nations are equal. There's no world power. You know, United States doesn't have any preeminent position in the world. And where Romney would have been, is if he would have became president, it kind of would have been the same, where instead of it being the United States being at the fore,
it would be Missouri.
It would have been corporations.
And it'd be in Missouri.
Independent
in Missouri.
Missouri specifically.
Yeah.
Oh, so, as I said, I just wanted to throw that in there because I've seen that, you know, these Obama supporters, you know, waving these American flags, and I'm thinking, how wrong are they to think that Obama stands for America? You know, he stands for, you know,
Robert,
more towards
it's in their mind. This is where people don't understand. In their mind, this is what America needs to be. It is their vision of America. It isn't. It's different than ours, but it's theirs.
And I think that's a challenge that
it's not about America for them. It's about the world for them, not America.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. I get it.
But we haven't heard from Rex for a while, so I would like to see if Rex would like to chime in on any of what's been said or heard.
Rex actually stepped away for a minute, so he doesn't really know what we're talking about, but he's willing to chime
okay.
in. He's willing to chime in on anything. I heard something about flags and their vision of America and our vision of America, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't want any of y'all's vision of America. In fact, I don't really care what your opinions are. I don't care what your positions are. I don't care about any of your views. I only care about the views of the men who gave us an unchangeable document that establishes the foundation of this country. That's the America I want to live in. So, you know, if you have a different view, go someplace else. There's plenty of countries in the world that have socialism, Marxism, corporatism, tribal conflict. If you like that stuff, go there. This is about the Constitution. We have a framework, and that's what we operate under. And if you don't agree with it, leave. I'll buy you a one-way ticket.
Hey, if I don't like it, would you buy me a ticket?
Yeah, sure. Where do you want to go? Russia?
I don't know.
Cuba?
I don't
Ireland?
Know.
Costa Rica.
This world.
I like to go to Ireland, but good.
Yeah, I don't know that there really is a safe place in this world, and it certainly wouldn't be any fun if it was, you know, for a Marine. So, okay, I guess I'm
I guess we're stuck with you.
You're stuck with me. You are stuck on Randy because Randy's stuck on you.
Are you saying you're a Band-Aid Randy now?
You know.
No.
I mean,
he's the reason you need a Band-Aid.
Certainly been considered far worse.
Well, I think it's time to actually start applying that Band-Aid principle. We need to start causing some pain.
No, Rex, it's time to start pulling the splinter out, brother.
Yeah, I agree.
Time to cauterize with heat.
Well, and what we've been saying, for a long time here is, as people are stuck, I don't mean people, I mean by the American people, as they're stuck in this two-party duopoly in which they cannot seem, for whatever, well, there's reasons, of course, to get out of. And as we said, when it started looking like it's going to be Obama the president, the Republicans with the House of Representatives and the Senate being with the Democrats, it's going to be more of the same. Now, what I don't understand is, for how long have we heard how bad things are here? How bad things are here in the United States? But yet, when it came time for the election, when things were all said and done, it's the same. We're not neither backwards nor forwards. We are in the same spot today after what was supposed to be the most important election of our lifetime as we were the day before the election. We still have the same party in the presidency. We still have the same party controlling the Senate. The same party controlling the House, from my understanding.
The same slime ball leadership in the House.
What has changed? Think about this, folks. What has been dubbed the most important election of our lifetime. The people have spoken, and nothing has changed. Excuse my French here. But what in the hell are the people thinking? Most important election of our lifetime, and nothing has changed. Are we happy with where we're at? By hearing people, you would say no. But we're in the same spot today, after the most important election of our lifetime, as we were yesterday, before the election. Nothing has changed. What does that tell us about the American people? Does it tell us that, you know what, we will bitch, moan, and yell and blame other people, but by God, we're not going to do anything to change it? It's the same. Are we great at bitching, but are we great at making things better? Go ahead, guys.
Well, I was just, you know, my big thought now is, you know, obviously I've got the group called After, you know, Beyond the Election, and, you know, my big concern now is, can we effectively bring all of those disaffected voters into something of an organization that we can take on this two-party duopoly? That is my number one biggest concern right now. Can we do that? And, you know, I'm praying that we can. And, you know, I'm going to be working towards the fact that we can. But at the end of the day, are all of these people that have talked about how dissatisfied they are, how that, you know, they're only voting for Romney now to keep Obama out. Well, since they haven't been able to do that, are they willing to join in the real fight now to change the political arena so that we can start bringing true competition in and start winning these elections and start restoring the constitutional boundaries to these United States? That's my question. Can we do that?
Depends how you sell it, Randy. Depends how you sell it. Go ahead, Rick.
We could. Oh, I was about to say something else after the yes, but then I realized that that's already been stolen by the current Marxist. But yes, we will. look, I think we all are completely aware of the fact, and whether it's because you believe in divine providence or karma or whatever it is, the fates, I don't know, you realize that the results are not up to you. It requires the coordination of the invisible hand of the marketplace. But what is up to you is what you do. And the fact is, you have to ask yourself, am I going to just sit back and bitch at the television while I stuff my face full of Cheetos? Am I going to yell at other people because they don't do what I want them to do? Or am I going to get off my ass, and am I going to go out there, and am I going to get involved, and am I going to go to caucuses and conventions, and am I going to deal with the Elections Commission, am I going to look at the Attorney General, and I'm going to talk to the legislature, and I'm going to have them change ballot access rules and ballots and get us back to write-ins and paper ballots and honest counting? Am I going to actually get up and get involved and do something for my Constitution, my country, my fellow citizens, or am I just going to sit back and accept whatever they, you know, pittance of bread and circuses they give me and just, you know, complain about it? It's just get up and do it. And we're Americans, for Christ's sake. Everybody, either for themselves or their ancestors, got up and left home to come here. That makes us different than anybody else on this planet, because all of the other nation states were built over pre-existing civilizations. We're the only ones who took our 2,000 years of inheritance, got up, left home, and came and charted new territories. So it's time to do that again. It's an honor to be like Columbus discovering a new world. It's an honor to be like our founding fathers, reclaiming what is rightfully our inheritance, because our rights don't come from government. We give them power temporarily. And I think it's good to be in that fight. Now, if we do enough now, our children won't have to fight it out in the streets for liberty. So it's your choice, but I think that we'll get up and do it, because I think that's the kind of people we are. And all you have to do is just wake up one person. If everybody who's already awake wakes up one person, and that person only wakes up one person, it would be huge. If you did two, now we've got geometric growth. So just wake somebody up.
Can I still complain?
Oh, well, I mean, Tex and Rex is broadcasting tomorrow night at 10, so, you know, all we'll be doing is complaining. Please.
Complaining coupled with action to alleviate or relieve what you're complaining about, then sure. That, like, vent, get it out, but then say, okay, I got that out. Now it's time to
move on and
do what needs to be done.
Well, I mean, Robert, a complaint is good if it's actually pointing out a problem. It's only terrible if you don't actually do something to solve it. But the first thing in solving any problem is identify it. So complaining will help you identify the problem. Identify the problem, then get to work on fixing it. And I just got notice that Virginia has suspended further ballot counting until tomorrow because of irregularities.
Irregularities, is that like the pile?
Interesting, but will it make a difference? Or will it make a difference? And irregularities, so maybe it just give a laxative or something and get it all out. So.
Oh, I thought irregularities meant that people voted for Democrats and Republicans. That's how I understood it.
What do you mean they suspended? What kind of irregularities did they say?
They didn't say.
Well, you know, it is kind of interesting with the Missouri, I forget which particular television station, it might have been KSDK, but one of the news anchors, I just was passing through the living room, they had the news on in there, and I had to pass through before I get physically upset or something. But I did hear the guy say make a special point of saying, so far there's been no mention of any fraudulent voting, no irregularities, no this or that or the other thing. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, that he specifically made mention of that. And I think it's because people are, you know, they really have a fear that, this is a very corrupt system that we're facing, and I think it's a legitimate fear, and I think we're going to actually see some of that. Now, I'll tell you, my county, I actually marked in on a paper ballot. Now, it was scanned in electronically, but at least there's the paper ballot to track what was done, and I at least appreciate that much of it.
You silenced the room.
Yes, you did.
I have that effect sometimes. Well, you know,
asking a question on the chat.
It really is, you know, it is kind of a perplexment in seeing how all of this is unfolding. And, you know, the bottom line is back in, you know, we'll never know the level of corruption that has transpired. But, you know, when I was in 2006 when I ran for governor, you know, I know for a fact there were thousands of votes that weren't counted. I know for a fact that there were actual election judges present in the precinct telling people if they write my name in, they will be wasting their vote. And knowing what I know now, that that's a federal crime of electioneering, I'd have done something about it, but I didn't know it at the time and didn't know how to respond. And that's why I say, knowing what I know now, it's a whole new ball game over what it used to be. And, you know, so I know that there is, you know, problems rampant throughout the system. Still silent.
You are silencing the room.
Well, we're talking
we're
about
pondering
the
pondering in thought over your words.
I don't usually. Normally, people are running away.
Oh, I'm not running away. I figure I got a better chance if I'm standing next to you than if I'm either front or behind you. I'm either taking fire or receiving fire in your direction.
I'm behind you, Randy. Why do I got to look through these binoculars? Oh, my goodness.
I got to be clear. I think this is very exciting, you know, because we know Obama's a familiar enemy. We've been dealing with him for 4 years. So, you know, now we got the comfy, cozy comfort of fighting him for another four as opposed to dealing with, you know, an enemy within our own foxhole. So, you know, look, the cause of liberty.
The enemy within, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The Star Trek episode.
Exactly. It's a good call. The cause of liberty has always demanded standing up and fighting for it. But, you know, for damn near 60 years, we've been asleep at the wheel. So hopefully this will be the good swift kick in the butt that we needed to get back up again. I mean, we're Americans. You know, this is what we do. We fight for freedom. That's what we do. It's not about Xbox. It's not about Dancing with the Stars. It's not about Cheetos. It's about fighting for liberty. That's the whole purpose of America. And it's just exciting that we can get connected with that. So, you know, rejoice. This is a time for fighting, and we were made for war, so let's get on with the cause of liberty.
For such a time as this.
Exactly.
You ready to hear this?
Well, it depends what this is, Chris.
It started. Hold everything from a True the Vote director. The election results reported for the presidential election tonight for Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and Florida do not match the totals of legit ballots cast in those states. This is fraud at the virtual level we've never seen. Now we have to see if the stupid party has the courage to challenge these false totals and recount the ballots, blah, blah, blah. So it's started.
Eh, whatever.
It has begun, and unfortunately, folks, we only have about 6 minutes left here in recording time, because after an hour, I mean, I'm sure I could talk all night on this, but it looks like we'll probably be cut off in about 6 minutes. So if people want to have some closing thoughts here, we'll have Randy, and then Rex, and then Chris, and then we will go from there.
Well, I'll tell y'all, I'm not from the South, but I'll tell y'all anyway.
In
that,
good fashion?
In very good fashion. That I'm excited that you are all excited. That excites me. And I'm well prepared to go into battle with every single one of you, and I am honored to do so. I'm honored to get to know you guys and gals. And, you know, I do look forward to the battle. That's why I'm here. I guess that's why God has called me to this, is because this, you know, there was a time of preparation. I guess that's why I had to spend 22 years in the Marine Corps for, you know, the good Lord to prepare me for such a time as this. And, you know, we do have a battle. We do have a fight. And, you know, what's that poem? I will not go quietly into the night. You can mm-hmm. bet that, baby. So just want to say God bless you. And I look forward to working with every single one of you all to restore the constitutional chains to this government that has blown outside its constitutionally mandated borders, and to save our states and our nation, and to restore it to the foundation that our founding fathers gave us to begin with. God bless you all.
Take care, Randy. Thank you.
Well, all I can say is I told you so. It happened like
yep.
I told you it would happen. You had ample warning. I even told you what to do about it. You chose to listen. Don't blame me. I didn't vote for the corporatist that won, and I didn't vote for the corporatist that lost. It was all your fault. You followed the duopoly. You're still stuck in the matrix. Take the red pill. Come out into the real world, man. It's cool out here, and we're having fun restoring liberty. Don't sit back and complain. Get off your ass and do something about it. Tex and Rex, tomorrow night at 10. Join us.
Yes.
Get a taste for freedom. It's awesome out here. Unplug your TV. Quit your party. Be American.
Okay,
well, you want to know how unpopular Romney is? You take Texas, right? Pretty red state. You know, Obama's still got 41% of the vote of the state. Yeah, it's just amazing. What did they think they were going to accomplish? So
oligarchy.
Unbelievable. So anyway, I have the same attitude I had going into it. You know, coming out of it, we know what's right. It's about the Constitution, and we need to educate people. If you educate people and give them correct information, you don't have to tell them who to vote for. That's what I said to Randy earlier. It depends on what depends on how you do it. You know, if you run around, you're trying to get people to be part of something they don't understand, there's always a sell job and a battle there. But if you educate people on the Constitution and you empower people, then they will make the right decision. You know, that's just my thoughts on that. I'm done.
Okay, and I'm just going to add in real quick, because I'm actually chatting with somebody that we all know. I won't mention any names because I'm not out. My purpose is not to out anybody. But, I'm chatting with someone on Facebook.
Well, in Maryland, they don't have to be in the closet anymore. Sorry.
Indeed. And I was told, of course, that...